Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Sure, it's Friday night, but that is no reason not to tune in to NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with Robert the Infidel Garding. Being around since 2007, we patriots have watched as the left and many on the right have done nothing to stop what is going on to destroy our great nation. Ideas abound with our society, but most are horrible at best. But there are good ideas out there if you know where to look. Join us every Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for a dose of reality from behind the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. That's NWCR Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday evenings, where you can call in at 646-478-5284 and give your solutions to what is ailing this country.
CNN is growing again, and our new show, coming up next with host Suzette, will be airing on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. Suzette is a constitutional scholar and health professional who has hosted shows on BTR since 2009. She currently hosts Welcome to Suzette Live Talk on Spreaker. Tune in for Coming Up Next with Suzette at 4 p.m. Eastern on Wednesdays, heard through Conservative Nation Media, where we can depend on the truth always being told, and where America always wins.
bucks further down the street with the crew pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of his feet. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust, yeah. Hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Surrender to the advance of the state. The state is not the solution. The state is the problem itself. You are the true protagonists of this story. And rest assured that as from today, Argentina is your staunch, unconditional ally. Thank you very much, and long live freedom. Damn it. Today, I'm here to tell you that the Western world is in danger. And it is in danger because those who are supposed to have to defend the values of the West are co-opted by a vision of the world that inexorably leads to socialism and thereby to poverty. We're here to tell you that collectivist experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world. Rather, they are the root cause. Do believe me, no one better place than us, Argentines, to testify to these two points. When we adopted the model of freedom back in 1860, in 35 years we became a leading world power. And when we embraced collectivism over the course of the last 100 years, we saw how our citizens started to become systematically impoverished, and we dropped to spot number 140 globally. And it should never be forgotten that socialism is always and everywhere an impoverishing phenomenon that has failed in all countries where it's been tried out. It's been a failure economically, socially, culturally, and it also murdered over 100 million human beings. The market is not a mere graph describing a curve of supply and demand. The market is a mechanism for social cooperation where you voluntarily exchange ownership rights. Therefore, based on this definition, talking about a market failure is an oxymoron. There are no market failures. Given the dismal failure of collectivist models and the undeniable advances in the free world, socialists were forced to change their agenda. They left behind the class struggle based on the economic system and replaced this with other supposed social conflicts which are just as harmful to life as a community and to economic growth. The first of these new battles was the ridiculous and unnatural fight between man and woman. All that this radical feminism agenda has led to is greater state intervention to hinder the economic process, giving a job to bureaucrats who have not contributed anything to society. Another conflict presented by socialists is that of humans against nature, claiming that we human beings damage the planet, which should be protected at all costs, even going as far as advocating for population control mechanisms or the bloody abortion agenda. Unfortunately, these harmful ideas have taken a strong hold in our society. Neo-Marxists have managed to co-opt the common sense of the Western world, and this they have achieved by appropriating the media, culture, universities, and also international organizations. We have come here today to invite the rest of the countries in the Western world to get back on the path of prosperity, economic freedom, limited government and unlimited respect for private property are essential elements for economic growth. And the impoverishment produced by collectivism is no fantasy, nor is it an inescapable fate. But it's a reality that we Argentines know very well. We have lived through this. We have been through this. I would like to leave a message for all business people here and for those who are not here in person but are following from around the world. Do not be intimidated either by the political caste or by parasites who live off the state. Do not surrender to a political class that only wants to stay in power and retain its privileges. You are social benefactors, you're heroes, you're the creators of the most extraordinary period of prosperity we've ever seen. Let no one tell you that your ambition is immoral. If you make money, it's because you offer a better product at a better price, thereby contributing to general well-being. Do not surrender to the advance of the state. The state is not the solution. The state is the problem itself. You are the true protagonists of this story. And rest assured that as from today, Argentina is your staunch, unconditional ally. Thank you very much, and long live freedom. Damn it.
All right. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show. This is your host, Lorianne. Happy Sunday, everybody. It's definitely been an eventful week this week. Lots of stuff that we could probably talk about. But first off, I have to make a correction in the ad promo that we played for Suzette's show that will be starting on Wednesday called Coming Up Next. It is not at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. It is actually going to be 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Is when her show will be. So we need to get that promo ad stated. So I wanted to put that out, but definitely tune in for her show if you're around. It'll be a little bit later than our usual start times, but It should be a great show. I'm looking forward to checking her show out. And then also, of course, in light of both Vivek and now Ron DeSantis dropping out of the presidential race, I had to play Queens Another One Bites the Dust. Next up, Nikki Haley. I don't think that she's going to drop out anytime soon, though, even though she probably should. But, you know, she's, you know, the anti-Trumper. She actually came out, I just saw, I didn't listen to it, but I saw a story saying that, you know, no, I wouldn't be Trump's vice president, you know, as if he's actually going to ask her anyway. But she just had to put that out there to save face, apparently. So, you know, hey, what do you do, right? And then the speech that you just heard was from Davos. Of course, you know, the World Economic Forum is has been meeting in Davos. Of course, you know, got to talk about, you know, climate change. We have to protect our climate. And meanwhile, all of these CEOs and politicians all flying on their private jets. And but that's okay. You know, we're go to electric vehicles and have them stall on the side of the road and not be able to charge them up in order to save the planet. But they don't have to do anything. They don't, you know, they can't carpool on their private jets. No, no, no. Or I guess you could call it jet pool instead of carpool. They can't fly commercial. No, no, no. They got to do their private jets. And, you know, meanwhile, lecture everybody else on saving the world. And so the in Davos, that was Argentina president, the clip that you heard, Argentina president Javier Milei. Hopefully I pronounced that right. I probably didn't. But he actually gave like a, I have the full 22 or so minute clip. But I didn't want to start the show with a 22-minute clip. So I did the 5-minute condensed version. And I know that it might have sounded kind of weird with the audio. Maybe that's what the problem was. Snowman James was talking in the chat. But it was, you know, he was, you know, it was the interpreter's voice that you're actually hearing. So you could kind of hear him actually speaking and then the interpreter, you know, interpreting it for English for us. So maybe that is what the audio issue was that Snowman James reported on. Hopefully my audio is good now. I had issues last night on Donnie's show, Beyond the Mainstream. For some reason, my audio wasn't going through. I could hear them just fine. But by the time I realized the problem, it was too late to call back in because it was already into the bonus hour. So hopefully tonight I won't have any audio issues. I rebooted my Comcast router, and then I rebooted my own personal router that everything goes through, and I rebooted my phone, and I rebooted my laptop. So everything's been freshened up, and hopefully we won't have any audio issues tonight. So, yeah, a lot of stuff to get into. So, yeah, so Vivek dropped out. After Trump was telling voters at a rally not to vote for him when he was in Iowa, don't vote for him, he's not MAGA, blah, blah, blah. And Vivek handled it gracefully. You know, he was, you know, hey, you know, it's unfortunate that he said that, but I still support him, blah, blah, blah. And then what happens? It's all, what was it, like the next day or 2 days later, Vivek joined Trump at a rally in New Hampshire. And did a short speech, definitely endorsing Trump. And I kind of think that that was a test. I think that Trump said that stuff about Vivek, and I think he was testing the waters. I think Trump was, you know, he did that to see how Vivek would handle it, if Vivek would turn on him or talk crap about him, talk smack about him, but he didn't. And so, you know, maybe that's just Trump putting his feelers out, like, who can I trust here? You know, who says they have my back and support me versus, you know, what do they actually do, you know? And so apparently, you know, Vivek passed the test. Got invited to join Trump at the rally in New Hampshire. And now, of course, the big buzz around is with DeSantis dropping out of the race. Now the big buzz is, you know, will Trump pick Vivek Ramaswamy as his vice presidential running mate? I guess we'll see, right? Trump has definitely said that he will not ask Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley said, well, I wouldn't take it anyway, even if he did. Anyways, so, yeah, lots of drama going out on the campaign trail here. I know I'm going to talk for a little bit before I bring callers in. We have Mike raising his hand. I see you. In the chat room, we have Conservative Nation Media Robert in the house. We have Joseph Gibson. We got Snowman James. We got Boyd the Alaskan. So hello, everybody. Ron Rick was in the chat and left. Don't know where he went. Hopefully he comes back. And let's see. Moving on. So apparently Trump had a Biden brain fart moment in New Hampshire. He was talking about January 6th, and he got confused. He was saying Nikki Haley, but he was actually meaning Nancy Pelosi. When he's talking about January 6th, he was saying Nikki Haley, you know, could have called in the Capitol Police or National Guard or whatever. And he did it more than once. That's the thing. But he was obviously meaning Nancy Pelosi. And so that got a lot of buzz. You know, is Trump starting to have senior moments? Are we going to, you know, was this a one-time thing that he got his names mixed up? Because that's kind of embarrassing for him to even remotely look like he has a brain fart moment as like Biden does. Of course, Biden can't get through a paragraph without brain farting, which we all know that. So that causes a lot of buzz. Moving on. An active duty Air Force officer, Madison Marsh, was crowned Miss America, which this is a good thing, right? She's an actual real woman and an active military member. So this was a first-time thing for somebody that's an active duty to win Miss America. So that's kind of cool. It's good to see that, you know, actual women are, you know, coming back into the fold and being crowned in these pageants. That's always a good thing. So shout out to Madison. Congratulations. Meanwhile, more Bidenomics. Oh, good old Bidenomics. The economy's doing so great. We're recovering so well. That home sales hit a 30-year low in 2023 due to the high interest rates. 2023, I think I read that the average was something like 7.75% or something, or maybe that was toward the end of 2023, whatever, but still that's an insanely high interest rate for a long-term mortgage like that. So no wonder. So not only are the home prices extremely high and unaffordable for the majority of Americans out there. But it's really stupid to sign on for a long-term mortgage when interest rates are so high. You're just throwing all your money away in interest. And so, big surprise, surprise, the combination of those two things have led to home sales hitting a bottom 30-year low as of last year. Maybe that will change. We're hoping that it will. The Fed that has hung a carrot in front of our face saying that they, you know, hope to lower the interest rate three times in 2024, but we're not going to see that. They estimate that we probably won't get an interest rate reduction from the Fed until May, which I hope that it's a substantial one, because May is really, you know, if you're going to be selling your home or buying a home, springtime is, when things pick up on that level. So hopefully interest rates will go down and that'll help with home sales going back up again in 2024. But we'll see. Of course, as we know, with the Federal Reserve, there are no promises. They might dangle the carrot in front of our face and then just take it away. Meanwhile, also in Bidenomics, our economy is doing so wonderful and so great. He's done such a great job. Auto loan delinquencies are at their highest level in 30 years. So home sales hit a 30-year low, where auto loan delinquencies reach peak level at highest levels in 30 years. So lots of people aren't able to pay their, over-expensive car loans. Well, again, if you buy a car and you have to finance it with interest rates so high, you're really ripping yourself off. So that just balloons that payment, and it's crazy how high auto payments are now. It's like, oh, my goodness, I'm so glad that I have a reliable vehicle that I own. I do not plan on buying a new vehicle anytime soon. I'm going to stick with what I got and avoid having a car payment as long as possible. Also in the news this week, the White House staff had to be relocated after a pro-Palestine protest turned violent. So they got them out of there. But that's not an insurrection. If it's pro-Palestine protests that get violent and or destructive, then that's not an insurrection. Then it's okay. Everybody, we should just glance over it. No big deal. Let's see. Then in other news, it's coming out that looks like evidence is showing that the Biden family funneled money into insurance policies and offshore bank accounts in order to avoid taxes. So that's their money laundering scheme. You have Hunter Biden selling his quote-unquote art. That was part of it. And then, of course, Joe Biden's brother is involved. I mean, the whole family completely into hiding all of this foreign-derived income. That foreign-derived income is the only income that is subject to income taxes, contrary to popular belief. And so that's exactly why they take so many efforts to hide it. So keep an eye out on that. We can get more into that if we want to. I know I posted several articles on what's been going on with the Biden crime family on my Facebook page. Go ahead and follow Lucid Libertarian with Lorianna on Facebook. You can also find me on Twitter, but I'm more active on Facebook, usually posting. Let's see. Another interesting one that maybe we can talk about this a little bit. Condemned Alabama prisoner asked SCOTUS to stop rare second execution attempt. I'm actually going to go and see if I can't find that article. I got to do a little bit of scrolling here in order to do that. Blah, blah, blah. I should have brought that up. I forgot to bring up this article because I wanted to talk about it, but I forgot to bring it up in advance. So excuse me momentarily while I scroll and find that article. Where's our article? Alabama guy. Someone, where are you? And I know, hang in there. I'll bring callers in here in a minute, but I want to cover the latest news. There we go. All right, here's the article. Okay, condemned Alabama prisoner asked U.S. Supreme Court to stop rare second execution attempt. An Alabama death row prisoner
who survived a botched execution attempt by lethal injection, asked the United States Supreme Court on Friday to halt the state's planned second attempt next week, this time by the novel method of asphyxiation with nitrogen gas. Lawyer, you know, I mentioned this, I kind of brought this up, I think, last week. That would be the first time that the death penalty execution would be done by nitrogen gas, by asphyxiation with the nitrogen gas. But there's more to that story, because that death row prisoner survived the botched execution by lethal injection. Lawyers for Kenneth Smith, convicted for a murder for hire committed in 1988, are arguing that for government to make a second attempt to execute a prisoner after painfully botching a first attempt violates the U.S. Constitution's Eighth Amendment ban on cruel and unusual punishment. Such a scenario has happened only once before in U.S. history in 1947, Smith's lawyers told the Supreme Court. They said that if the court allows the execution to proceed on Thursday, states will be free to engage in serial execution attempts regardless of the reasons or circumstances of the previous failed attempt, and regardless whether that failed attempt caused and continues to cause physical and emotional pain. With respect, that is the very definition of torture, the lawyers wrote. Alabama officials have said that they are required to carry out a sentence and a death warrant issued by a state court. The separate proceedings on Friday before the Atlanta-based 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, Smith also challenged the constitutionality of Alabama's new gassing method. The state's Department of Corrections has said it expects the method will kill a condemned prisoner swiftly, within a few minutes, and without undue suffering. Alabama has adopted the most painless and humane method for execution known to man, Alabama Solicitor General Edmund LeCour told the three-judge 11th Circuit panel that is considering Smith's request for an order to delay his execution to allow his legal challenges to continue. Smith's lawyers argued that the department's decision to gas Mr. Smith by strapping his face to a commercially made industrial safety breathing mask connected to a canister of pure nitrogen comes with risks of botching their second attempt to execute Smith. In past decades, some governments, including in the United States, have used toxic gases such as hydrogen cyanide to carry out executions. Alabama's method uses nitrogen, which makes up about 78% of breathable air, in a pure form to displace any oxygen the prisoner can inhale. Lawmakers in Oklahoma and Mississippi have also approved gassing methods in recent years as lethal injection drugs become more difficult to obtain, though they have not used the method yet. Smith's lawyers have said that the seal between the mask's rubber edges and Smith's face could break, allowing in at least some oxygen that could prolong the execution or result in him surviving it, but with serious brain injury from oxygen deprivation. They also have said that some people who have tried to use masks to gas themselves in assisted suicide had vomited, and there is a risk that Smith, who will be strapped to a gurney, could end up choking to death on his own vomit. Smith's lawyers told the 11th Circuit on Thursday they would propose that Alabama instead use a hood filled with a high flow of nitrogen, which they said has become the preferred approach in assisted suicide using inert gases. Smith, according to his lawyers, has been suffering from nausea as a symptom of post-traumatic stress disorder since his first time in the execution chamber in November 2022, where officials spent hours trying to insert a needle into various parts of his body before abandoning the attempt. Alabama said it will not stop the execution if Smith vomits once the pure nitrogen is running. LeCour said Smith's claims about the risks of the masks are speculative and told the 11th Circuit that if the prisoner is concerned about vomiting into the mask, then he could opt to have his last meal earlier in the day or the day before the planned execution. Oh, how lovely is that? Oh, my God. Man, you know, I know there's other stuff to talk about that I still have listed to go through, and I know I've been rambling on here a bit. But I'm sorry. I think that he has a case. I really think that he has a case. So I do want to get back to this. Just a rundown to and other news. Pennsylvania cannot bar adults under 21 from carrying guns. Court rules. So that's a win. Yay Bruin. Yay Bruin. They're applying the Bruin test to more and more of these cases, and this is another one of them. So that's a win in Second Amendment news. Here's another one we might be able to get into later. I got to dig up the article for. But Harvard urges judge to toss families' lawsuits over morgue scandal. And I think I brought this up maybe a couple of weeks ago, but we can get into that. So this morgue scandal at Harvard, they were not handling bodies correctly. They were people that had donated bodies to scientific research for doctors to study on whatever. Well, what Harvard was actually doing with those bodies was selling the organs. So they were making some money on the side. So watch out. If you've listed yourself as an organ donor, you might want to rethink that. You might, you know, you want to donate your body to science, or you want to donate it for these good and noble purposes. And more and more often, it turns out that what you intend and what actually happens are two totally different things. Your organs are valuable, and so it's a kind of another money laundering scheme to take these bodies that have been donated and instead sell those organs off. You're not giving your liver, you know, or giving your kidneys to some, you know, child that's suffering and, you know, all that. No, this is for sale, you know, to the highest bidder, kind of bypassing the wait lists and all that. So Harvard is all mixed up into this stuff. So, but, you know, hey, you know, Harvard is Harvard. Hey, you know, let's just toss these lawsuits. You know, come on now. You can't make us get in trouble for this, right? So courts, just drop it, you know. In other news, Netanyahu, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, suggests that the United States is trying to coerce him into establishing a post-war Palestinian state, two-state solution. Apparently Biden had a chit-chat with him. I don't think it went so well. Netanyahu is not taking orders from the United States, but is glad to accept our money. You know, keep the money flowing, but we're not going to do what you say, United States. Has anything ever changed there in regard to Israel? Keep the money flowing, but we're going to do what we want to do. So why should we keep funding it? Anyway, we can get into that later as well. And then in other news, Japan becomes the fifth country to land a spacecraft on the moon, or so they say. But apparently the solar panels on the spacecraft are not working. So the spacecraft that they landed is running out of power, and the solar panels aren't working to charge up. So good job, Japan. You know, you screw up. You mess up your solar panels. I don't understand it. But, hey, you know, that kind of cracked me up. But, hey, you know, Japan is the fifth country. You know, now they've got a feather in their cap. So, anyway, let's see. Okay, good. It sounds like... audio issues are no longer. That's good. So if y'all want to call in, you can do so. I definitely want to get back to that death penalty thing, scenario. I want to get people's feedback on that. I tend to think that he has a case. I tend to side with him. Y'all might disagree with me. And then Snowman James and Conservative Nation Media Robert, you are both the Green Grinch in the chat room. So apparently that hasn't fully gone away. I'm going to go ahead and bring Mike on in. He's raising his hand. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, Laurie Ann. I heard you want to get to that thing, but here's the deal with, okay, we saw just recently that DeSantis endorsed Trump. The traitor, he betrayed Trump by running. He told Trump he wasn't going to run, and he ran anyway, right? He betrayed Trump. He cannot be trusted, all right? Plus, according to, I have a friend in Florida who's got a radio show out there, he's unelectable forever in Florida. He can't even go back to his house seat. He's not going to get a Senate seat because Scott is there and so is Rubio. So, and they're not going anywhere. So he's blocked there. He can't be reelected governor. They're term limits. So he's done. Now, as far as Nikki Haley goes, she's got her own set of problems. Yeah, she's not going to drop out, but the problem with Nikki Haley is she's got a sex scandal going on, all right? Okay? She's been caught she's married. She's been caught in her family vehicle with married men doing what they do, right? So, so she's got a big problem. Women aren't going to vote for her. She's a homewrecker. In fact, one of the guys who acted absolutely as a lobbyist, but that's a minor part of this thing, he was married. He got divorced over the fact that he had his affair with Nikki Haley. So she's got her own set of problems. I don't think women don't like homewreckers. I think, generally speaking, and she's not.
I would tend to agree. Yeah, we don't tend to like homewreckers. We tend to be extra critical of women that do that. So yeah, but Nikki Haley does have her problems, especially personality problems. And not to mention she's a warmonger. If we really want to set off World War III, then let's elect Nikki Haley. She'll make sure that it happens. She's drooling for World War III,
Yeah, but the point is she thinks she's going to get the women's vote. It's not going to happen. Yeah, Trump has his problems with women, but maybe not with his second wife messing around with his second wife on Ivana, but that's been years ago and he hasn't done it since. This thing with Nikki Haley is recent. I mean, really recent. And get this, there's a video out there of her driving around with Sununu in his like 68 or 65 Mustang. And you could tell, and it's just him and her. He's married, she's married, and the windows are foggy. Now, if it was anybody else, with him, if it was his wife or whatever, any man, he would say, okay, it's New Hampshire, he's running the heat in the car, it's foggy. This is Nikki Haley, and with her past, with married men, where do you think somebody's mind's gonna go when you see that car looking the way it's looking?
Yeah, things are definitely gearing up to be pretty interesting in this presidential race. I mean, I don't think anybody is really wondering if Trump is going to be the nominee or not. I mean, I think he definitely is. And I know that the Democrats are putting out all the stops to try and, from what they know, will be a win. If Trump is the one that's on the ballot, that they would have to be epic masters at election fraud. Like, it's going to be so glaringly obvious that if somehow Biden wins, we're all going to know it's a big fraud. It's going to be so obvious. They're not going to be able to hide it. It's very obvious. And we definitely don't need Nikki Haley in there. Would I like to eventually see a woman as president of the United States? Of course I would. But I'm not going to vote for a woman just because she's a woman. You know, I didn't vote for Hillary for that same reason. You know, Hillary got a lot of women voting for her simply because she was a woman, and women want to see a woman president. But the thing is, women, if we're going to have the first woman president of the United States of America, women, we have to make sure that person is worthy of the office, not just vote for them because, you know, they have a vagina. You know what I mean? And I think Nikki Haley is the Republican lunatic equivalent of Hillary Clinton on the Democrat side. She is not the person that I want to be celebrating becoming the first woman president, you know. Now, Kristi Noem, on the other hand, if she's done being governor, you know, maybe let's say 2028, and, you know, her governor run there in South Dakota is over. If she were to run, you know, and I don't agree 100% with her on everything, of course. I'm too libertarian for that. But if there is a woman on the GOP ticket that I think is absolutely worthy of being president of the United States, I would vote for her. You know, she is somebody that I would go, thank God our first woman president is worthy of the office. You know what I mean? I think that highly of Kristi Noem.
Right. There is a label. It's not a label. What do you call those things? You know, there's a hashtag running around on Twitter that is Nikki Hillary. You know, being that she's nothing more than Hillary Clinton with an R behind her name, you know. And that's the thing. She's not bright. She's not smart, or else she wouldn't have done what she's done with these married men. And it's a habit with her, so you don't want somebody like that as a second on a ticket, right? You just don't. And that's not going to happen. And she's got to understand that. And look, she's up in the polls in New Hampshire. He's going to be up in the polls in Nevada. If it ends up that he wins New Hampshire and wins Nevada, then there's no way. And everybody, politicals in South Carolina are behind Trump, you know, the two senators, including Lindsey Graham, the governor, the assistant governor, lieutenant governor, you know, the majority of the House members, the whole legislature in South Carolina is behind Trump and not Nikki Haley. Because they know her, so you know, if he, like I said, if he ends up winning in there and he winds up winning Nevada, and the polls are really bad. I'm talking about he's up in South Carolina, double digits, maybe 25-30, you know, even though she's their favorite son, he's up that much. It's over. It's done, you know, and she just can't see it. She's got to keep running, you know. Oh, she'll run here in New Hampshire because she thinks she can get lots of crossover voting. But again, she's wanting the Democrats to vote for her. Well, she wanted the Democrats to vote for her. Switch parties, you know. Now, New Hampshire has to kind of correct that because they can cross over and vote in New Hampshire, but that's New Hampshire. Until they get somebody other than Sununu in there, who's a Bushy. He's a Bush. His dad was in the Bush administration, so he's a Bushy. Until they get somebody other than Sununu in there, hey, it's going to remain the same.
Snowman James in the chat says, how many Hillary Clinton supporters does it take to change a light bulb? None. They prefer to be left in the dark. And hello to Jim Clark, just joined us in the chat room as well. He's excited that the Chiefs won. Rah, rah, woo, woo, be a cheerleader. And I have Roberts is kicking back listening. Cinnamon's kicking back listening on the switchboard. Don was on the switchboard and dropped, so maybe he'll come back again. But if you're out there and you're listening and you want to join the conversation, feel free to call in 563-999-3698.
As far as that thing you talked about earlier with the death penalty thing, I'm still for the death penalty. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you're trying to find the ultimate way, or what? Not the ultimate way, a better way to do the death penalty. You know, I'm all for being stayed in the firing squad and doing it that way. You know.
Well, you know, that's my thing. Like, you know, I am not, you know my position on the death penalty. And trust me, you know, I'm overall against the death penalty. But trust me, there are some cases that really stretch my brain, you know, because it's like I really, really want to make an exception in this case, right? But, yes, if we're going to have it, hands down, firing squad is the most effective, the quickest, the least likely to have a mistake happen, you know, is by firing squad, hands down. You know, we try to come up with all of these, you know, nicer, prettier ways. Yes, you know, firing squad is actually the most humane. It is actually the most effective. You know, it's hard to have a whole bunch of people watching an execution, by firing squad, you know, all that blood and everything, you know. So it's just not as pleasant to witness. Because, of course, you always need witnesses in an execution. But with this case, though, you know, I think that it's a very good case if, you know, number one, when the state has the authority to basically murder somebody as punishment, murder as punishment, that's the part that I'm against. But when they don't get it right the first time, you know, we are giving them the ultimate authority. There is no higher authority you can give government to legally murder somebody as punishment of a crime. And if they can't get that right the first time, then no, you don't go for a second time. You don't get a second chance. the cruel and unusual punishment part of our Constitution, yeah, that qualifies. How traumatic is that? How cruel and unusual is it for them to botch your execution and you survive it? And then they want a do-over. Even if it's by another method, it doesn't matter. They screwed up the authority that they have. If they are that incompetent that they can't get it right, and that is cruel and unusual punishment to me. That absolutely applies. You don't make somebody go through that kind of a trauma and survive it and then put them through the mental torture of waiting for the state to have a do-over. That, you know, this is why I get so passionate about it, because like I said, you know, they absolutely have a case. I really hope that the U.S. Supreme Court hears this case, because I don't think that it is humane at all to botch an execution and then put somebody through a second attempt at it. It's just wrong on every level. Get it right the first fucking time, state. Yeah. You know, you don't get a second chance at this.
In the Middle East, when they want to execute somebody, what they do is they stick them in a pit and they throw rocks at them. At least in the biblical times, that's what they did. All right? And that's basically a firing squad in and of itself. But again, that was what they did at the time. So, yeah. I mean, when me and Gunslinger talk about, you know, treason and the constitutionally prescribed punishment for it, and we say it's, you get a rope, right, it's hanging, right? Even if it's hanging, you have to be careful, because you gotta make the noose in a certain way, and you gotta put it on the guy in a certain way to actually, you know, snap his neck and not have him just hang there.
Yeah, versus just like dangling there and being strangled. I'm going to go ahead and bring on Joe Gibson and also Boyd the Alaskan as they're raising their hands here. Welcome them
all
on
right.
in.
Hey
there.
Well, the problem is look, you don't have an honest, the system, look, you have the media that convicts people before the court trial even begins. So you don't know what to believe, because everything is a lie. I mean, the stories are just horrendous. Like, for instance, there was a story out of Florida. This is what they brought up in my case here. They brought up a thing. I was trying to figure out what the hell were they talking about. And I remember a couple years ago, there was this Jewish kid, right? He got out of his car, and I guess there was some, I guess they were Nazis or whatever, National Socialist people. They were doing a protest or whatever. And this kid got out of the car, and he hit a 70-year-old guy, and they got it on video, right? But they arrested the other guy. They arrested the other guy, though. So you know, down in Florida, if you assault an elderly person, that's a mandatory sentence. If you assault somebody over 65, this guy was like 72 years old. But because he was a supposed Nazi or whatever, no charges were brought up against the kid that was Jewish. Right, and the kid was openly Jewish. I guess the ADL was backing him and everything. So that's what they were talking about. But again, you see, they bring charges up and they arrest the other guy. You got it on video. The kid gets out of the car and assaults the old man on video. He stops his car and gets out and assaults him, and the other guy gets arrested. How could that happen? How? Because the system is broken. It's broken. The media convicted him. That's why. The media. And this is what we're talking. And so what do you believe? How could you believe anything anymore? Everything is a freaking lie. It's twisted. The narrative is set. And it's an information war that we've lost. And that's all there is to it. So how can we trust the courts to get something right but when it comes to the death penalty?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, not only is it broken, but it's broken on purpose. It's so corrupt that it's broken on purpose. And you're right. You know, the media doesn't help matters. Look at what's happening to you. You know, the media is reporting a bunch of stuff about you that are lies, presenting it as facts.
Yep.
And, you know, and that's what people are going to believe. That's what people see on the news in North Carolina there, you know, and they're going to trust what the media says. Well, at the same time, you know, in a, what was it, like a minute and a half or something video story about you that gave you like 15 seconds of airtime compared to three or four other people that are, you know, like, how is fair reporting?
I know.
But then you want to have a death penalty? I mean, if it were up to the media, you would be a death penalty right now. You're a neo-Nazi, anti-government, right-wing extremist, white supremacist. Yeah. You're evil. You know, like if it were up to the media, it would be you that would have a botched execution.
And guys, it works. It works in the opposite way as well with the media. Because remember, who were the biggest cheerleaders for O.J. Simpson getting off? The media.
It's disgusting. I know. Imagine that, that the guy's son, the parents of the Goldman there, that, you know, I mean, the guy, they lost their son forever because the media convicted. I mean, it's disgusting. It's disgusting, man. It's terrible. I mean, and they fuel a lot of this crap that's going around, these riots that were happening in 2022. The media was fueling the flames of that shit, too, you know? The media is, man, they are so corrupt. There's nothing you can believe about the media. Nothing. Why watch it? I mean, it's all a lie. I mean, 80% of the stories they reported about me were lies. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, why believe it? Why watch it? It's just a waste of time. Imagine what else they're lying about.
Oh, I know. Well, I mean, if you're running for office, you kind of have to pay attention to what they're saying. Otherwise, you know. How do you respond? You know, you're kind of forced to walk these lies about you. And I know that I said this, I think it was on Friday on Robert's show, that I said, you know, with the stuff they're digging up, it's like the media went out, looked up every single Joseph Gibson there is in Connecticut and North Carolina, or even along the whole East Coast, and then combined all of the criminal charges of any Joseph Gibson that's out there and put it all on you. You've done it
robbery.
All. You know?
Yeah, robbery.
You've done robberies.
I got convicted of robbery.
You're
never
a woman beater, domestic violence person. I mean, like, you know, they're really, like, they're making you out to be the devil incarnate. You know, God, it's just pathetic.
I know. It's bad. It's really bad. I mean, thankfully, though, they've done so much damage because of Trump that most of the people out there really don't believe him, you know? But you still got those closet zombies out there, those couch potatoes that, you know, they believe anything that, you know, I don't want to ruin my good name. You know, those types of people, you know, they'll believe anything that, you know, the government tells them. You know, the bootlickers, you know, they'll lick the boots of they'll do anything the government tells them to do. So those are the people that are very dangerous.
Yeah, those are the ones that actually somehow, no matter what, you know, they still somehow think that the government is looking out for us and has our best interest in mind.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we the people, you know. we're here to help. We're from the government, you know. Mm-hmm. I think we all know that when the government says we're here to help, when our red flags go flying everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
it's not even funny. Let's see. Yeah, I haven't seen like anything on the latest. You said that there was a reporter that was digging more into your story. Has anything come about that? Like,
has she done any they're investigating. Or? Yeah, she's investigating. The last story was about 3 days ago. It was I had it pulled up earlier. They definitely convicted me as a neo-Nazi. Now I am a neo-Nazi. So you should see Twitter. Oh my Lord! Go type in North Carolina Nazi or something, or NC Nazi on Twitter. Oh my! It's got thousands of posts about me. Thousands. I mean, it's insane. or go to that Wiley character and do a search on him. I mean, that Wiley caucus guy from North Carolina, how he just, I'm a Nazi, I don't have no character, I'm a scumbag, I'm a dirtbag. I mean, they just totally trashing me. I mean, I went to a meeting on Saturday to the convention of states. There's about 20, 25 people there. Not one person brought up that issue. So hopefully it's not, you know, it'll go away, but I doubt it. I mean, I don't know. I have to get the general feel of the public and see what, you know, what they're saying. But so far, so good as far as, I haven't gotten any threats or anybody really calling me out on it. So other than the media, it's the media that's freaking doing it. You know, nobody else is really saying anything. And the Republican rhino there because of the casino issue. I'm telling you, it's got to be. It's got to be. It just has to be. I mean, there's just no other way. Because 2 years ago, they didn't bring none of this stuff up. None of it. You know, I mean, I ran last 2 years ago, and then not one issue came up. So, and the ADL had that article written 2 years ago, and they didn't bring it up. So, what the hell is the ADL anyway? You know, I did some research on them, and they're really a communist group. They bash a lot of people.
Oh, big time.
So they're communists. They're Marxist communist scumbags. That's what they are.
Absolutely, they are. I mean, have you tried reaching out to some of these reporters that have been reporting so negatively on you? To say, hey, interview me, let me say my side. Has there anything come of that? Do they even give you any airtime?
Yeah, well, like I said, I had that one female reporter that said she was going to investigate stuff, and she did bring it up about the DEA and stuff, and that's good. But and then there was another one that made a comment about the CIA. The CIA left me in prison too long. And then I reached out to one, and that was the interview I did, actually, the on-camera interview. That's the one where he only let me say, like, one sentence. And then the rest of the interview was about everything else. So I was like, whoa, you know, I got to be, I figured why, but, I got to
like
be careful.
Yeah, like, poor
people
bad-mouthing you.
yeah, so I got to be careful.
Especially that one jerk-off that was like, I still got a kick out of that. Like, you know, since they failed to do any research on you when you ran a couple of years ago, they failed to look up your record and do a background check, but, you know, it's not their failure. It's because you're so talented at slipping through the cracks.
Yeah.
That's you.
I'm talented. Yeah. That's the Wiley guy. That's the caucus
you're
leader.
You're so savvy.
Yeah, we did podcast
so
shows about it.
You're so savvy in your evil doings.
Yeah, that's something else.
He's just covered in KY jelly. You know,
that sound slipping through the cracks. How do you do that anyway? How would you slip through the cracks? What was I doing? How do you do that? Oh man, yeah, that's the caucus leader for the rhinos here in North Carolina.
And KY would be too nice. You know, KY is too nice. They're using like Ben Gay or something instead.
But
you
check
know?
This out, though. We're missing the whole point of this, right? Where do the legislators get off running the background checks and checking out citizens of North Carolina or any state? The politicians don't have a right to investigate the citizens like that. What right do they have to do that? You know, that's not what they're elected to do.
Oh, but the second you run for office, you're open to all of it, you know. Next
yeah.
income, you know, we want the last, 20 years of your taxes. They're going to want every single piece of information on you, you know, everywhere you've ever lived, how much you owe on your mortgage, if you've ever been late, what's your credit score. You run for office and you become an open book for everything.
If I'm elected, right? Go ahead.
That's one of the things that originally pissed him off about Trump is that he wouldn't give him his taxes originally.
Yeah, I don't have to disclose anything. But if I'm elected, I just wonder. Right, you know, if I don't get an alliance with me, they're not going to do anything. I'm just going to be a disruptor. I'm just going to be disrupting, and that may work in my favor because I could really bring some issues to the table. Because you know the cameras are going to be on me if I'm elected. You know that. Imagine the news story here in North Carolina if I'm elected. I mean, just imagine the blowout that's going to happen. I mean, I just can't imagine what's going to happen. I mean, so I could really bring some real good issues up to the forefront and really expose these bastards.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, did you pay Biden a visit when he came there to North Carolina to campaign?
Oh,
did you
no.
go pay him a visit to show him your love, give him a Valentine?
No, I'm a waste of my time.
You missed that opportunity.
I don't think Biden would have known he was there anyway. So,
yeah,
Biden didn't even know he was there.
Yeah, you would have to have Jill like standing and reminding him every. You're in North Carolina right now. This is where you are. We'll be home soon after this, honey. You know, let me lead you on and off the stage so you don't fall down and get an owie.
Well, I think we've exposed. I think the bottom line is this: the people are awake now. They're more awake than they ever have been. So this is the time now. We have got to take advantage of this and get these people out of office, unelect them, unseat them, send them home, turn the lights off, and we've got to take back our republic. This is our chance. I mean, everything is built up to this. Many people have taken the hit, sacrificed, and given everything. Like me, I've lost my name. So everything I have, I mean, wherever I go now. So we've got to do our part. Everyone has to do their part now, and we've got to take back our country.
That is very true. You know, I think, you know, that I think that 2028 is going to be even more important than now, because either way, you know, Biden or Trump, whoever wins, is only going to have 4 years. And so we definitely need to be thinking ahead for 2028.
If Biden wins, forget it. There is no 2028. We will be in World War III. We won't have an economy left. It'll be destroyed. The new world order will be fast. We're all done. There's no way. If you look at the numbers, look at the economic the charts. Our economy can't sustain that. They'll have to do a reset. They will have to get rid of the digital currencies already lined out and everything. They're not going to wait another 5 years for that. Nuh-uh. We are finished. There's just no way.
Yeah.
I just can't see it.
By the way, did y'all see the speech that Soros gave at the World Economic Forum? The guy is 93 years old. He flies to Davos, and as he's giving a speech, he looks like the guy's having a stroke. You know?
Well, yeah. Well, he might. Yeah, hopefully he don't make it too much longer himself. You know, so. But
it doesn't matter. He's already given his thing to this Alexander, his son Alexander.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that was one of the topics at the meeting on Saturday. Actually, I guess he's going to start dumping money into North Carolina to start going after us over here. So they said that was one of the subjects that they brought up. So. You know, so it's interesting, so that's why I'm saying this is a very important election. We just got to be involved as much as we possibly can, man. No time to waste. The emails, calling people, getting people elected, just all our time needs to be focused on doing these things right now. You know, across the country, helping each other out, networking, taking advantage of the internet that we still have before they finally shut it down on us and censor everything. I mean, we just have to do this. We have to. I mean, there's just no time to waste.
Right.
Yeah, I hear that. You know, pretty soon, I wonder, you know, how soon is it before our social credit score determines if and how much internet bandwidth we can have? If we have a low social credit score, then you're going to get bumped down. You're going to get slow internet, and then, and you'll probably pay even more for it. That would be a dream come true for the globalists, for sure. You know, let's copy China. Another North Carolina story that I saw, which I'm glad that you're on, I kind of saved it because I was like, okay, if Gibson comes on. I saw this story. North Carolina school board adopts policies in defiance of state law on parents' bill of rights. A North Carolina school board adopted new policies on Thursday that members acknowledge may not comply with the Parents' Bill of Rights approved by lawmakers in August. The Chapel Hill Corobo City School Board of Education cast the first of two votes to approve a series of policy changes that neglect to address specific aspects of the 2023 law regarding notification to parents of student pronoun changes and restrictions on discussions about gender identity and sexuality in kindergarten through fourth grade. The vote Thursday came nearly 3 weeks after a legislative deadline of January 1st for schools to implement provisions of the new law. In published reports, Board Chairman George Griffin described the law Thursday as morally wrong and vowed to stand up for what's right, despite the potential legal ramifications of ignoring its requirements. The school board has received letters from teachers, students, and others about the new law and potential policy actions. Some school districts, such as Orange County Schools, have revised policies to allow administrators to consider whether informing parents about pronoun changes could lead to abuse, which the law allows. Chapel Hill Corobo board member Barbara Fetters suggested the district take the same route. Board members instead directed administrators to draft guidance on how to protect students and teachers when educators are confronted with the request from students to change their name or pronouns. Vice Chairwoman Reza Jenkins acknowledged that ignoring the law could result in a legal challenge that would waste limited taxpayer dollars. The policy changes approved Thursday will bring the district in line with other requirements of the law that bans educators from encouraging students to hide information from their parents, allow parents to review student surveys and health questionnaires, and require a process for parents to challenge objectionable materials. Did you hear about that, Joe Gibson, or do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I didn't hear nothing about that, but the bottom line is this, is that, you know, the parent, the student has the right to keep information from the parent, or the school has the right to keep information from the parents concerning gender identity, or if they want to become, like, for instance, if my son wanted to go to school and become a girl, that they would keep it from me, and then it would be a law. That's a complete, that is bullshit, asinine, ridiculous. And if any school or any school official did that, the sheriff should be instructed to go arrest that school official right there, you know, on the spot, because that is dead wrong. That's child abuse, not the other way around. There's no way. Parents are entitled to know what's going on with their child in that public school. No way. That is wrong.
Well, here's the deal. Maybe what needs to happen is the state to take them to court. This is a law. You've got to follow the law. You've got to follow the law. You've got to do it. Maybe they need to be defending themselves in court and wasting money that probably should go to the schools in court, right?
Yeah, well, I don't understand why this is an issue anyway. You go to school to learn math, history, science, blah, 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 and stuff like that. There's no reason why school teachers should be discussing whether or not a guy is a girl and a boy is a girl or whatever. Now, all that LGBTQ and three bathrooms, stupid crap is a waste of time. Just shouldn't even be wasting time on it. It shouldn't even be an issue. We already know what kids go to school for. You know? I mean, why are we opening the door to this, like the critical race theory subjects and all that other nonsense? Why? You know, it's just, why even discuss it? Just shut it down right as soon as somebody opens up their mouth, fat, big fat mouth about it, you know, at these board meetings.
But you got to ask yourself one question. How are they going to indoctrinate your kids if the parents know what's going on?
They can't. They can't.
No, but
they
must.
They're going to keep
the whole point of it.
But they must. They have to. That's their job. Their job coming out of college is to indoctrinate your kid. That is their job. That's what they got educated to do. How are they supposed to do their job if they can't indoctrinate?
They're not supposed to indoctrinate your child. They're supposed to educate your child, not indoctrinate your child. All your other issues, social issues or what have you, are supposed to be taught at home, not by the educator. The educator is there to teach, like I said, math, science, whatever.
That is not important That has never been important since the colleges and the teachers union came into being. That is not important. What is important is that they get indoctrinated.
Start pulling our kids out of public schools then. That's all. You know, I mean, something's got to be done. I mean, this is ridiculous. They're coming after the kids, you know, openly now. They've been doing it quietly for a while, for a long, long, long time. But, you know, now it's becoming where they're it's just out of control. Like I said, it's just half-assed backwards. The system is broken.
That's why we need to get rid of the Department of Education entirely.
Their little COVID stunt backfired big time on them.
Oh, yeah. You sure did. They tried to put down that it's
home
suffering,
and be
mental health.
when the kids had to go home and then get educated over the internet, and the parents could see what exactly was being taught to their children.
Yep.
Yeah, that backfired big time on them boys and girls.
And it was a good thing that those kids were home from those schools. It didn't hurt that kids that they were home all that time. It was a good thing for kids to be home with their families. That was a good thing. But the media portrayed it differently, though. The children are committing suicide because they can't go back to school. Bullshit. Nobody wanted to go back to school. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't want to go.
but again, there is definite problems because, you know, some of these kids did want to go back to school because they missed their friends, you know?
Well, yeah. But they could still talk to their friends. You don't have to go to school to talk to your friends. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I couldn't talk to my friends at school. I had to wait till after school to hang out with my buddies.
Well, yeah,
you know?
And especially the kids that were bullied, you know, they got a break from being bullied.
Yeah.
You know, from the asshole kids that they normally have to go to school with, you know?
Yeah.
So they got a break. And there's still,
right,
you know, after school activities, there's still all kinds of, you know, things that you can do to socialize. You know, just talk to somebody like Valerie, my previous co-host Valerie, you know, homeschooling her kids and stuff. There's plenty of stuff that you can do to have, you know, to get your kids out there and socialize with other kids. It doesn't have to be in school. And your kids can turn out, you know, most homeschooled kids turn out far better. You know, emotionally,
yep,
far better educated. You know, they would be taking advanced, they would be bored in school advanced classes because they already know this crap. They would be flat out bored. You know, a lot of homeschool kids, they'll get through, you know, what a school takes the entire day to go through. They'll plow through it in 2 or 3 hours and be done. And then, okay, now we can go and we can, you know, do chores or we can go out and play. We can, you know, learn other things. We can, you know, learn how to chop wood and garden and all these other things, you know. And so it, you know, yeah, what Boyd was saying is absolutely right. That, you know, you don't need school for socialization. And it's not that harmful to homeschool your kids so long as you provide other ways for them to interact and have a social life.
Right. And then, of course, there was a couple of times throughout that whole period that, the teacher's looking at, instead of paying attention to his or her teaching, they're looking at the screen and they're looking at the kid's room, and the kid may have had a American flag on the wall, and they go, "Well, you got to take that down. Wait a minute. It's my room. It's my mom's house. It's my parents' house. It's my room. I'm at least paying attention. And you're telling me I got to take this down from my wall, even though I might want it there. And it's not you're supposed to have no control over what happens in the home, other than the fact that you're there, you're supposed to be there teaching, you know, teaching me, doing your, quote, job.
Well, there is one thing that you've all forgotten, okay? The state owns your kids. The state is responsible for the product that comes out of your kids because they own them. You don't own them. As a parent, you don't own them. You signed all that stuff away when you signed for those birth certificates. You signed all of that shit away.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
Well, I know that's what the legal thing is. But I know that's what the legal theory is, and I know that with that birth certificate stuff, but bottom line is we give them the authority to do the exact same. Hell no, we got to say no. If we say no, they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. You gave them the legal authority within 14 days of your child's birth when you got that birth certificate. And you signed that document for the birth certificate.
Yeah, but it's still
you gave up your child the moment they got their CUSIP number.
It's a one-sided contract. It can't be. It really is not. It won't hold up in any common law court. I'll tell you that.
Bullshit.
We're not in the common law.
You got to find a common law court first. There ain't no common law court anymore.
Well, there's two constitutions operating parallel beside each other. Don't enter into their jurisdiction, and you won't have to worry about it.
Well, yeah.
But in the meantime, they still own your kid.
How can they intervene? Well, you have to give them reason. Don't give them reason. Don't go into their jurisdiction.
You're in their jurisdiction.
That's just it.
If you go to a public school and you play their games, that's right. But again, wake people up and break away, and then they don't have any power over us. We have to break away.
But it is the law that you must send your kids to school.
Who says? What law? What do you mean it says there's a law? Who says? Well, I can read that in the Constitution.
No, it's not in the Constitution.
Oh, you mean a statute?
You have to send your kids to school so the school gets money.
Who says? Who says I have to send my kid to school? How do you know I even got a kid? How would they even know if I decided not to send them to school? How would they know?
They've got the record of when your kid was born.
Oh, no, they're not going to, they wouldn't come around doing, hey, you got a 5-year-old kid, you're supposed to be in school. They wouldn't know. Nobody would know. Again, if we don't participate in their system, then they can't do anything.
Well, then don't be signing no birth certificates.
Well, that's right. Well, that's the start of the problem right there, but, again, it's a trick. You can't force someone into a fraudulent contract. You can't trick somebody.
Once you sign that birth certificate, you just enrolled your kid into the system.
Well, I sign everything see addendum, so. See addendum. Oh, you didn't get my addendum? Oh, I left it there on the table. What are you talking about? I'll send you a copy of it in the mail. There's ways out of it. I understand that people are not awake out there. We have to break away. The bottom line is this, is that I understand what you're saying with the birth certificate and everything, but we're not going to, that issue right there, you can't even bring that up because most people is going to go over their head, so there's no point. But there is other ways we have to go about restoring our republic lawfully, and there are ways. We played the videos 1,000 times already. I mean, I played that one on my show, that 27-minute one from the Air Force colonel there. So, how many people are paying attention? How many people are willing to do that? Again, this is an important time in our country history right now for us to change and restore our republic. We can do it. We have the people awake now. Stop looking for Donald Trump to save us. We've got to do it in our own cities and towns. Trump is not our savior. It's great. I hope he gets elected. That's great. But that's the national stage. We got to do it locally within our states, our legislators, and our Senate.
I'm definitely taking our state sovereignty back. Going back to education, I'm definitely an advocate for get rid of the Department of Education entirely. There's nothing in the Constitution that allows for it. There's no reason why we should be paying taxes so that it can be basically a money laundering scheme so that we funnel a bunch of money into the Department of Education, and then the Department of Education funnels its money to local school districts that comply with its mandates. None of it is right. And if you look at the start of the Department of Education, who started it? Rockefellers. Big banks.
Yep.
The Rockefellers wanted to make mindless sheeple. They have funded it since its very inception. So that right there should disqualify it, from being of America's way of educating their kids. It is a globalist idea to have this Department of Education. And if we want to actually educate our kids instead of indoctrinate our kids, the first step is to get rid of that centralization of our education system.
Local
communities can actually have the choice on what curriculums. Parents will actually have a voice in what is being taught in school. What does your community consider valuable to know? There will be, but our hands are tied, that our local schools are so dependent on the federal government to help supplement their education budget. And so they just comply with it. Well, let's stop doing that. Let's get rid of the Department of Education altogether and start taking control of our education back. How are we supposed to have a future of this country if we have the dumbest kids graduating high school? Before the Department of Education, everybody wanted to come to America for their education. America had the best education system in the whole flipping world.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Department of Education came along, and look where it's got us today.
Right.
We have been thoroughly dumbed down. How do we have a future when our kids are being deliberately dumbed down?
Yeah, that's true.
There's a reason why they don't like vouchers. When the Republicans or whatever decide to try to pass vouchers through Congress to give block grants to states to give the money to the parents to send their kids to other schools and get them out of the failing schools, well, there's a reason why the teachers' unions and other people, came up and basically shut it down. They don't, because that takes the money away from the public schools. And how do they get paid? They get paid when they have the heads in their butts in seats. Hi guys.
Hello. Sorry about that. I had myself on mute.
Do we have anybody on Skype?
Not the last time.
He just called in.
Like, where is Sarge and where is Pianki at?
That's right.
The usual people have been waiting to see if they show up. But I stepped away from my computer for a little bit anyways, but still.
I like to say Gunslinger's nowhere to be found, but if he's not here, then everybody me and Boyd probably know where he's at. He's at a titty bar or something.
Those two are probably either crying in their beer or celebrating.
Yep.
One or the other. I know. Like, there was an article that I wanted both Sarge and Pianki here for, but since they're not here, I'll talk about it anyway. Not sure if you guys saw the latest from California. Stupid article now. California Community College launches a program only for students of color. A new California Community College pre-faculty training program is marketed as only available to non-white graduate students, leading to calls of discrimination. In a program hosted at Compton Community College in partnership with the University of Southern California, a faculty prep academy for students of color will prepare 30 currently enrolled master's and doctoral students of color and prepare them to become faculty members, reports Campus Reform. The program will pair students with mentors who are already faculty members and will help them draft cover letters and resumes and be introduced to other faculty and administrators to help them secure full-time faculty positions. Participants will have their direct costs of attendance covered by the program. While it is unclear where funding for the program originated, does receive a federal grant funding for tuition and received $20.5 million from the COVID-19 era Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund. Experts on higher education contend that the program is likely illegal. While the program application does not include a race category, the fact that it is marketed as a program for students of color makes it appear likely that CCC will only consider non-white applicants. Quote, if CCC is federally funded, it falls under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, which makes racial discrimination by federally funded organizations outright illegal, even if it's for a valid business purpose, said Neetu Arnold, research fellow, National Association of Scholars, the Center Square. Quote, however, note that the eligibility criteria in the application does not include race. This is probably an attempt to avoid litigation, but given the way the program is marketed, it's highly likely that they would not seriously consider non-persons of color students in the decision process. Anti-discrimination law treats outreach and recruitment programs more leniently, continued Arnold. However, I think this is because the program offers actual resources to participants. It shouldn't be considered in this category legally. And it goes on. So, yeah. So it's going to be – so basically get special treatment you know, how is that not reverse racism? You know, if we want to get rid of racism, we need to stop this kind of crap. You know, let's take a group based on their melanin, and we're going to give them special privileges. We're going to give them special programs. We're going to, you know, finance these special programs directed only for them and exclude people that are white. You know, this is exactly how we keep racism and those fans of racism going, is stuff like that. I'm absolutely against it. You don't hoist one race up over another. You don't give one race more privileges over another. And of course this is California that's doing this, but you know, if California does it, then of course I'm sure it's only a matter of time before states like Oregon, like Washington, possibly even New Mexico, start adopting the same kind of crap.
Right. Michigan, you know.
New York, yeah.
Yeah.
All of these, you know, Democrat strongholds.
Of course. That's the problem. They want stupidity. They like stupidity. They like dumb people, you know, up in that way, you know. And
That's basically what these guys are doing. I mean, the whole of the education system, the public education system, is a scam. Every bit of it is a scam. You know? I mean, from the colleges on down, I mean, when you freaking get a degree in like basket weaving, and then you go and try to get a job someplace, and you can't get a job because there aren't a lot of basket weaving jobs, then, you know, it's a scam. The whole thing is a scam.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. And we got to look at the origins, and nothing has really changed. You know, it was the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, big bank money that founded the Department of Education to begin with. And so, of course, those agendas start coming clearer and clearer. It's Marxist, it's communist, it's authoritarian, you know, they love that stuff. Their dick gets hard over that kind of stuff. Okay.
Well, that's good. Okay, we know. It's unconstitutional to have it. Okay, now what can we do to get rid of it then? That's what we got to discuss. How? What's the process? What do we got to do? You know? I mean, we can analyze everything and call it all out for what it is, you know, a million different subjects. But what are we doing here to get rid of it? What can we do? Any ideas, anybody?
Contact representatives and demand that they support abolishing the Department of Education. We can start demanding more local control over our education policies and the curriculum. We can elect people that are willing to dismantle the Department of Education and its hold over the state in their education. You know, but we got to start making it a priority. And I think, you know, I think one of those, it's like there's so many areas of corruption, like we've talked about before, that it's hard to settle in on one. But I think, you know, the Department of Education is right up there because that's our future. Like I said earlier, you know, it's our future. Mm-hmm. Our kids are our future. We will have no country if we have stupid kids that graduate high school and start voting that don't know any better, you know what I mean? And they're indoctrinated and they're brainwashed, you know, and then they get out into being adults and they vote and they operate out of that indoctrination. They don't know any better. So I think, you know, the Department of Education, if there's something to attack, if there's a demon to be slain, the Department of Education tops the list so that we can hopefully actually educate our kids so that the future voters can be on board. They will know. They will be knowledgeable. They will be effective in dismantling that which has been so corrupt for this whole time.
Okay. Okay, so what tools do we need? What do we got to do? You know, we know that. But what do we got to do? What can we do to start moving forward, you know, and take the next step?
Well, one thing
make it illegal in your state to accept any federal funds for education. Period. You don't accept any federal funding, you don't have any ropes or anything tying you down as far as what you can teach and what you can't teach.
Yeah, but they'll call the money something else. They'll label it for something else, but then funnel it towards that, though, you know? So that's very difficult.
You make it that no federal funds shall enter the North Carolina state educational departments. None. No school
boards. And how are
boards.
You going to decipher that? How are we going to determine? Uh-huh. How are you going to pick out what money goes where and how it goes there? How are you going to label the money a certain way? I mean, that's just, it's a rabbit hole, you know?
No. Nope. The state takes it upon themselves to fund their education department. Period.
How can they do that?
Huh?
How can they do that?
By the will and the vote of the people.
Yeah, but with what money? What currency are you going to use? What currency are you going to use?
What do you mean, what currency?
Yeah, how are you going to fund? How are you going to fund your own state? Federal Reserve notes are Federal Reserve notes for a reason. State can't print its own money.
You get paid taxes in the state by your citizens in Federal Reserve notes.
Yeah.
That money, no matter that it's a Federal Reserve note or not, is the state's money. That's in the state's treasury.
No, it's not. It goes to a Federal Reserve deposit holding. It goes to there. It goes to deposit. It goes into a lockbox that's controlled by the Board of Governors, Federal Reserve Board of Governors. They control the money. And they distribute it.
I'm bringing Ron Reck on in. He's raising his hand, so I'm going to bring him on in to join. Hello, Ron Reck.
Then I guess you're going to have to go to your state boards and your local boards of education with a fucking shotgun. Okay?
No, you can't do that. Well, that ain't going to work.
Hello?
No, maybe you can't do it, but the rest of the people can, Joe.
Yeah, but they're not going to.
The rest of the population can take control of their own fucking school boards. Plain and simple. That's it.
I heard that before in 2020 when I had a guy on my show that was talking about going to Washington, D.C. Everybody needs to use the Second Amendment. Yeah, I heard that story, too. We're all going to march with our guns, you know, and nothing happened. You know,
Joseph, we're not going to Washington, D.C. You're going from your house to your local Board of Education meeting. And you're going to direct your local Board of Education what they're going to teach, what their curriculum's going to be, and if they don't like it, the door is over here or the barrel of the shotgun is here. Take your pick.
And then I'm going to have a sniper blow my head off. And then a sniper blows my head off, and I won't know. And that's it. Okay, everybody, let's clean this mess up. Get back to business tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll have a whole SWAT team. You know, yeah, you'll find out exactly how effective a firing squad really is.
Joseph,
in comparison to
you're very you're overly sensitive to the point that you're going to be the one that's doing it. No, it's going to be the local citizens of the town and community. Are they going to wipe out and shoot? And are they going to wipe out and shoot the whole fucking town?
They could. They did it down in Waco.
Yeah, they could. But you know what? That would only happen one time. And they will never, never be able to take that back and be able to stop the rest of the country.
That sounds great. But like I said, Waco, Ruby Ridge, we can go up. Those are the famous ones. We can go about all the quiet ones, you know.
To Boyd's point, Joe, several school boards in Florida got flipped the exact way that Boyd's talking about. You know, and it was all because of what was being taught in their schools and stuff like that. And the people flipped those school boards.
I'm for it, man. I'm all for
they
it, but
it,
I just
they,
don't see
they
it
did it. They did it legally, and they did it in the same night. They went in at the beginning of the school board meeting, and there was a school board sitting there. At the end of the night, nobody that was sitting there in the beginning of the meeting was left standing. They were all out and gone, and there was a new school board sitting there at the end of the night.
Well, that's great. You know, I didn't hear nothing about that, but that's great if that's true.
Well, of course you didn't hear nothing. Of course you didn't hear nothing about it, Joseph. You think you're going to put that out on the news?
Why do you hear about it? A pigeon? How do you hear about it?
I heard about it from, I keep mentioning this guy that does a radio station, that does a radio show from out of Florida, from out of the Miami area, right? From his radio station is right down the street from Mar-a-Lago, right? And one of the biggest flips in the state was the school board, one of the school boards in Miami, which is a big liberal place, right? But it went conservative, and it was a big freaking deal. It was the whole gosh darn school board. They went in, like Boy said, they went in that night, and by the end of the night, it was a different school board. Bingo.
Oh, that's great. That's good news. That's hope.
Hey, I'm bringing Cinnamon on into the conversation here. Hey, Cinnamon. Now would probably be a good time for me to inject here a little bit. We only have less than eight minutes left of the live broadcast. So if you are out there and you are listening, now is the time to call in within the next 7.5 minutes. Continue on with the show as we go into the bonus hour, 563-999-3698. And I know that there's a ton of other more stuff, but Cinnamon, what do you got to say? Did some of this conversation spark some thoughts in your mind that you wanted to talk about?
I was just going to say we cannot go show and gun to the school board meetings because people that are going with just petitions are being investigated by the NSA and put on domestic terrorist watch list. Do you guys not remember that? And they finally got them to back down. Hold on. They finally got the government to back down on that because everybody cried that that's just pathetic and that's foul. But you show up with the guns and then they're going to go, see, this is why we had to do it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying don't storm the meetings and don't keep telling them what you think needs to be said. And show up with petitions, show up in big groups. And talk them down, yeah. But don't show up with guns. It's not going to help.
You show up with the charters for those school districts and the charter for the community and everything like that. And in there, you can take an on-demand vote of the people that are in the room. And vote them all out legally. That's what they did in Florida. And they voted them all out, and then they held an impromptu election with the people that were right there at the meeting and elected a new school board.
I would look into that and see if that's in the charter for the local schools. I'm just saying you can't go in, like I said, you know, open carry, even if you're in an open carry state. You can't do it because they're looking for reasons to put you on the NSA list.
Well, that's simple. You call the NSA before you show up to them. You call the NSA before you show up to the meeting and tell them that you're going to go to the meeting with your gun.
At 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Yeah,
who's talking in the background? Mute yourself.
That was Don. Trying to talk at me.
This guy is Brian Craig.
I'm supposed to ask
somebody if it's Brian Craig.
The guy is Brian Craig. That's the guy.
Okay.
That's the radio guy from Florida.
So can we all tell Donnie to call in on his own?
Yeah.
Well, he's there in the switchboard. So Donnie's on the line. He's there in the switchboard. He just hasn't raised his hand, so I haven't brought him in yet.
just remember this, Cinnamon. If you're not on a list somewhere, you're not doing it right.
Oh, I know I'm on a list. Even if nobody knew me, I was on a list because I'm married to Tom.
They have a list.
But yeah, I would love to look into the charter of the local schools and see if that's a way for them to take back some stuff. Because I don't know, I don't have anybody of school age right now that are friends that really say too much. I mean, I've got a couple of people that I work with, but they're just frustrated with the going back and forth on Zoom, and then being in class and then being out of class, and they're having fighting in school is what the problem is.
Right.
I'm going to bring on, we got Daniel or Kathy or both raising their hands, so let's find out.
Hey, it's
Daniel
both
or
of
Kathy
us. I'm just washing dishes, though, so.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, good to hear from you.
All right. Oh,
what
got,
is on your mind tonight,
got,
Daniel?
What's
By the
now?
Way, we got 3 minutes left of the live broadcast as well. Anybody else that's still out there that wants to call in, do so, 563-999-3698.
Hello,
always good
Matthew,
to have Daniel join us.
Yeah, I'm back in business here, back in business. No, the only thing I wanted to say real quick, earlier y'all were talking about the Alabama thing. Hey, I'm from Alabama. I don't remember the case. I don't remember the Kenneth Smith guy. But look, just like double jeopardy when you can't be tried for the same crime twice, is that true? That's true, right? It should be
yeah,
the same
be
way.
Double jeopardy.
You can't be killed for the same crime twice, you know? Or you can't be, they
or
can't,
you can't
try.
You can't be attempted to kill for the same
there
crime.
There you go.
Twice.
There you go. I mean, that's only, oh, my God, what a, we look like a bunch of idiots. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on.
If they done executed you once, you're off. You've paid your debt to
yes.
society.
Whether it worked or not, yes, you are off the hook.
Yep.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
You know, you don't give the state a chance to botch it up again, especially when they're going to use this. They're going to basically suffocate them with nitrogen gas this time, which first time that this method would be used. So not only did they botch the lethal injection, but now they want to experiment with this new way to gas somebody on the same guy. You know, like, what
awful,
could possibly
man.
Go
awful.
Wrong? If that's not cruel and unusual punishment, I don't know what is. It's like, oh my God.
You guys already
fucked it up the first time. Now you want to have the same guy be subjected to you fucking it up again using a new method you're not familiar with? You know? I mean, come on.
It's too much. It's just
insane.
Too much.
Well, that's why Judge Roy Parker would always say, you're going to hang by the neck till you're dead, dead, dead. And that meant that once you dropped, if that rope didn't break your neck and kill you right there, well, you were on that end of that rope. And you're not getting off the end of that rope until you are dead. Period.
Yeah, strangled to death, yeah.
That's right. Or like Saddam Hussein, when you drop through the hole and the rope isn't correct, but it pops your head off, you know, what the hell? You're dead. He hung there.
You're dead.
He hung there until he was dead, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, like, you know, going back to this, I know, but, I mean, this is exactly why I'm against the death penalty. You know, it's just like if we're going to have state-sanctioned legal murder as a punishment for a crime, then the state damn well better get it right. From beginning to end, they better have the right person. That person better be guilty, beyond guilty. There better be no evidence that is excluded. The jury should see everything and anything. No, we're going to exclude this evidence, and we're going to exclude that evidence. So the jury makes a decision based on incomplete information, number one, you know, that could exonerate the person or, you know, affect the sentencing to get life sentence instead of the death penalty. They better get it right with the right person, and then they better get it right when they actually do it. You know, it's like you don't fuck up an execution. You just don't. And so long as they, so long as the state is so corrupt and so incompetent, you know, if we don't trust our government to, I don't know, taxpayer money, you know,
yeah,
the way they should, and the, you know, the way, and allocate taxpayer money to the programs that it's supposed to go to, instead of money laundering it and bailing out big corporations and this big COVID-19, you know, trillion-dollar fraud that took place. If we don't trust our government to do that, how in the hell can we trust our government to implement the death penalty on the right guilty person and not screw it up? You just
yeah.
can't.
Well, Laurie Ann, with those, with all of those things in mind, we shouldn't put anybody in jail. Everybody should go to court, be sentenced, and released for their crime.
Where do you stretch it out that far? I even said life in prison instead of the death penalty. Nobody said at all that nobody should be punished at all or go to jail.
Well,
you're making
all these accusations that the state can't get it right, or they lie and cheat and steal, you know, with the evidence and everything. So.
Yes,
with that in
mind, nobody can go to
court at all.
New evidence can come to light, and the case can be retried, and it can be appealed. And once the person's dead, there's no getting that life back, innocent or not. It doesn't even matter anymore, except to the families. You know, and then how much does that cost? When the families sue, how much taxpayer money goes to the goes to the families that sue because the wrong person was convicted and executed by the state? That's a huge wrongful death lawsuit right there that the taxpayers are going to have to pay.
Let me ask you this: How many times have they got that wrong?
Many times.
Enough,
I don't have the actual numbers.
Enough that there is something called the Innocence Project.
Well,
exactly.
That's
the Innocence
fine.
Project, yep.
And I don't remember what the numbers were, but somebody had said, as far as justice goes, like one innocent man dying compared to, and I don't know how many convicted men, you know, how many murderers or whatever. I don't remember what the number was. But even that statement right there is one too many. That's what I mean. That statement right there kind of gives you pause.
But, you know, I'm still for the death penalty because, I mean, think about it. You get, first off, recidivism rate, even if he gets proved not to be the case, again, how many of those guys do that, number one? How many of those guys get proven not to be the case? I mean, yeah,
we got Gunslinger in the house now, just letting everybody know.
Of all the thousands that have been put to death, you know, there's several handful that get proven after the fact. But again, I'm for the death penalty because, one, the recidivism rate for these guys, a guy goes to jail for murder at 25, yeah, he'll, and it's a life sentence or with a chance of parole.
after a certain amount of time, he gets out, he does it again, or she does it again, right?
Well, but we're not arguing against life without parole.
Right. Well, again, with these places,
because even life without parole can be appealed if they get it wrong.
Right. Well, you sit them on death row. They, you know, again, spending money to keep them there. I get that, but you're also forcing them to spend money for the appeal. That's number one. And who's to say that the next court up isn't going to do the same thing to them, right? And says, okay, this evidence that you said should be admitted is not admitted. You know?
No,
I
and
mean,
that's fine. Yeah. That's the way the courts go. And not everybody's granted an appeal. You have to be able to prove that something was wrong in your trial that found you guilty, and you would have been found innocent. So you have to get that to get an appeal.
Right.
And then if you lose on appeal,
exactly right.
I mean that's pretty much saying, okay, you got your new evidence and they still think you're guilty.
The average time a person sits on death row between 5 and 8 years, I think. The average, you know, and so it's more than that. So I would wager to say that there are more people getting appeals than you think get the appeals. Now, will the appeals be successful? That's another question altogether. That's another question altogether. If the appeals aren't successful and they say, all right, you're done, right? You know, so, again, and really, I'd rather have them do the appeal, go through that session, and have that right to have those appeals, then have no death row, have no chance of killing them, you know, and say, okay, we're going to give you no parole, give you a chance at parole, and then get out and do it again. I have to go through another trial, spending more money to prove them guilty again and putting them back in jail again.
Look,
you're right,
most people, when it comes to the criminals in today's society, cannot be rehabilitated. Now, there's a few that does, and a few of them turns their life around and fly the straight and narrow, okay? But very few, okay? The majority of them, and you go look it up from the government's own numbers, okay? They're repeat offenders. They do a crime, armed robbery, rape, whatever it may be, and they spend a little time in jail, which they learn to be a better criminal and do it better the next time. And then they get out, and a week later, they're already back robbing the convenience store down the street. Armed robbery. Oh, boy. What do you do with these people? I mean, if you have concrete evidence, if you have a handful of witnesses that seen Joe Blow here shoot this son of a bitch in cold blood for no reason whatsoever, then he needs to get the same thing. Okay? It's been done. You've seen it. You've had witnesses. I mean, good God, how many more witnesses do you need? You've got video. Now we got, in today's society, we've got video cameras every damn angle and even in the bathrooms. So there's plenty of evidence out there that you, if you do this crime, okay, whatever the crime may be, a heinous crime, no doubt, then why stick you around at taxpayers' expense for the rest of your freaking life? Say you're 18 and you do it, or 19. Okay, you get sent to prison for the rest of your natural life, probably 75, 80 years, okay? We, the taxpayer, are going to have to foot this scumbag that took another person's life, I mean, just for nothing. Some of these people out here kill for the thrill of it. Trust me, I was in law enforcement for 3 years.
I don't doubt that there are some absolutely evil people walking this earth.
Oh, yeah. And then some. Okay. But if the evidence is there and it's proof positive you did it, well, you know, there's not a perfect system. If we had a perfect system, we would have a utopian society. But unfortunately, we don't. Okay? There are going to be a few that slip through the crack. That's unfortunate. That is unfortunate. But can you imagine letting all these people out of jail? Or like I said, the putting them in jail for the rest of their life. Okay, they stare at four walls. Okay, okay, at your expense. And the next person at your expense. And the next person at your expense. Where do you think the kids that house these people? I mean, it costs literally thousands of dollars a week to house these people and feed them and all this stuff. And yet they just live the life of luxury now. They got a roof on their head. They got 3 squares a day, and they're pampered after they murdered somebody.
Well, Joe Gibson, is it a life of luxury when you're in prison? You're at least one person on the call that knows exactly what prison life is like. Is it living a life of luxury?
No. Not even close.
Well, you get a roof over your head, don't you?
I will speak about that
in
the great words of Martha Stewart. Martha Stewart, on an interview, stated the fact that prison is fucking worthless. They don't rehabilitate, and that's right. Now, I've worked inside a prison before. They don't rehabilitate nobody. Nobody gets taught anything different. You're in there housed like a fucking warehouse animal. You ain't taught nothing different. You're just a victim of the state now. You broke a law. Now, I'm not talking about where you killed somebody or hurt somebody. I'm talking about bullshit laws, traffic, and, you know, child support bullshit like that. Nonviolent crimes. You're in prison for this shit, right? You're not in there getting rehabilitated. You're getting trained. You're in gladiator school, man. You're going to be a bigger, badder motherfucker. That's what you're going to be when you're done. And as you guys are speaking earlier, I didn't interrupt at that point. You were all talking about this shit, the school boards, and all this other shit. That's right. Yeah, the federal government controls that shit. That's their baby, too. They control everything, okay? And everybody's like, well, what do we kind of, like Joe was saying, what kind of tools do we need to fucking stop this? And we have them right in our hands. Everybody, apparently people can't see them. Cause I mean, I'm a professional retard. And I help retard. That's what I do. I help retarded people to come to a fucking understanding about that. There's one weapon you have in your hands all day long, every day besides your cock. It's called money. And you stop spending money and giving these fuckers what they want to keep sucking off of you. You know, it's like you're one big kitty. And they're sucking on you, man. That's what they do. But they want you to spend money, spend money, spend money. Then at the same time, they're printing money. Like, it's going out of fucking style. So there never will be an end of money. It'll never end. It's never going to end. As long as people keep spending money. In other words, you got that wheel rolling and rolling. They're never going to fucking stop pumping it. You're never going to stop pumping it. And if it slows down a little bit, well, they'll inject some more into it. Just like all these stimulus packages, we did absolutely fucking nothing for the economy. Nothing. It simply just kept the machine running. That's all it did. And as long as they got the machine running, they do what and when, whatever they want to fucking do to you, me, you, everybody else, schools, children, people, old people, prisoners, every creed of person ever known to man. They can do whatever they want to. And court systems are fucking corrupted, too. Long all political fucking realms are all fucking corrupted. Every one of these things are set up for somebody to fuck somebody out of something. Period. That's what the hell is designed to do, and that's what people don't figure. They fail to realize they have that one little instrument that can stop it all, and it's called money. You stop spending money, even though, oh, my God, I got to have this button thing for Amazon. I got to have it. And you know you don't. You know you don't. You know, but that's what the control is. People don't realize they have the weapon in their hands. You know, money. Don't spend money. I mean, I go a long time without spending money. I don't spend no money at all. Why? I don't go to Walmart every fucking goddamn day to go get something I don't fucking need. And in your market, see, that's the problem. People are so easy to brainwash. People are easy to manipulate. People are easy to fuck. They're very easy at it. It's very simple to fuck somebody. You know what I'm saying? You paint everything with rose gardens and everything else. Smells sweet, looks sweet, moves, and you like the way it is, and it's got your attention, bam, you want it. Even though you buy it, bring it home, there's, you know, you get about 5 minutes.
Yeah, here's, since we were talking about prison and stuff like that, here's an article I thought you all might find interesting. Washington State Democrats propose allowing convicted killers in prison to vote. and serve on juries. Convicted felons in Washington State, including murderers, may soon have more rights when it comes to seeking elected office, voting, or sitting on a jury while still in prison. House Bill 2030 is sponsored by Tara Simmons, Democrat in Bremerton, an advocate for the restoration of rights for felons. In 2020, Simmons was elected to the State House of Representatives, making her the first formally jurated state legislator in Washington. In 2011, Simmons was sentenced to 30 months in prison for theft, drug, and firearm crimes. This continues the, quote, this continues the work I've done since first being elected in 2020 when we got a bill passed that restores voting rights as soon as someone leaves prison, whether or not they have paid off their legal fees or were on electronic home monitoring system, Simmons said. She went on to say, I know this is a partisan issue we are not all going to agree on, but I went to Norway with Republican Representative Mossbrucker and others, and we toured their prisons, and what I learned is taking away the right to vote in America is very much rooted in racism, and other countries don't take away your right to vote when you are convicted of a crime. Republicans say this is the latest in a long line of Democrat proposals that prioritize criminals over victims. Rep. Greg Cheney, Republican of Battleground, is the ranking minority member of the House State Government and Tribal Relations Committee, which considers the bill. Think about this from the perspective of the victim, knowing that someone on a jury panel may also be serving a current sentence for the very same crime that you were violated for, Cheney said. So the article goes on. But this is, you know, I am all for restoring, you know, any and all rights. You know, you've done your prison time. You're done with your probation. You've fulfilled your obligation as part of your punishment. Then, yes, all of your rights should be restored. But I definitely am not for this. I do not think that convicted murderers, convicted rapists, convicted child molesters, convicted, you know, sickos should have voting rights while they're still in prison. They should not be serving on juries while they're still in prison, or even when they're out of prison and they're on probation still and they haven't paid their fines. They're still on probation. You know, all of that. It's like, no. There's something very wrong with this psychology, in my opinion. What do you all think of that?
Well, I think that they're going to get, I think Washington's going to get what they fucking voted for. And they're fucking them. They're going to fuck themselves.
Oh, yeah, they're going to fuck themselves. Yeah, they're going to fuck themselves.
You did
no
the crime. You did the crime. You did your time. That's it. It's over.
Here's an article that occurred in Oklahoma, just next state, you know, up here from Texas. It says here the DA seeks the death penalty for an ex-boyfriend accused of filming, this guy videotaped, a heinous and atrocious rape of an unconscious 18-year-old before murdering her in cold blood. That motherfucker.
Well, could the blood be cold or warm? I mean.
That fucker should fry. Hook that sumbitch up to 4160. Okay.
But again, what's the case here, gunslinger? Hang on, gunslinger. Who did he kill? Why did he kill? What happened? What's the whole case here involving?
I'll post it right here, but we're going.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just making a conversation here. Let's just say, for instance, you killed, right, the guy who raped your daughter. Now what? Does he fry? You know?
I kill
you see what I'm saying?
The person that raped my daughter? Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Damn right I would.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I agree. Remember, I'm just saying, though, we don't know that case you're reading. You know what I mean? We don't know. You see, we're taking one and we're putting it, generalizing that everybody has to get punished the same way. Every case is detailed.
Here's the article. You can read it for yourself in the chat room.
No. Right. I'm not saying that you're telling. No, I'm not trying to say you're not being genuine. You know.
Yeah, for yourself. I'm just saying, read it for yourself. But remember that there was that other case. It just happened a few years. I mean, I guess it happened a few years ago. This trusted friend of this family was some type of physical aid or something to this 6 or 7 year old boy, right? And he brutally raped him. Okay, and they was transporting him back to Dallas. Here, I think he was being transported back to Dallas by the U.S. Marshal Service, and his father waited at a payphone while they walked by. The guy suddenly pulled out a gun and popped him in the head. He's dead before he hit the ground. And I'm going.
Yeah. Hey, bringing Father. Nathan on into the fold. Right. Just to let you guys know, right. Bringing on Nathan. He's raising his hand. Sorry to interrupt. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, you know, when you mentioned, somebody mentioned going over to another, that lady going over to another country and looking at their system and coming back and wanting something. Here's her first mistake. She told a lie when she raised her hand to make an oath to the Constitution. You need to look to the Constitution, not to what they're doing in another country, okay, or what they're doing in another jail. It's a thing, it's an old word, it's called reprobation. That's whenever your experience is the standard of your experience. My best example of this, my best example is, you know, some guy runs across the border and we say, hey, man, you're a criminal. You came here illegally. And he says, all I want is a better life. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you amnesty and rewrite the laws and call it immigration reform. And then the next guy runs across. And same thing all over and over. Our standard. We're not looking to it. We're looking at everybody else's standard. And our experience, my standard of my experience is my experience, my standard, then guess what? The standard keeps dropping. And then next thing you know, we're literally a whacked out line.
Exactly.
And a lot of victims.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, like we say up here, I don't give a fuck how they do it outside.
Well, here's the thing. I've only been in one situation where a guy hit my sister, okay? And I had a talk with him and told him, if you got any issues, you need to get dealt with. I'll do whatever I can to help you find a counselor or something and work through this stuff because we all got issues, you know? And but I told him, if you ever hit her again, we're going to find out who the best man is. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm thinking, you know, this is going to be a hard boy to handle. And then, and he didn't hit her again. What he did is he got in a fuss with her, and he reached inside her shirt and scratched her boob. And then he told her, your brother can't see this. Okay, so her friend was there and saw it, and she told me about it, and I went over and I knocked on their door. Well, first I told my sister, let's go for a ride, and went over to my other sister's house, and I said, look, take her back there and tell me what you see. And she came out and said, there's scratch marks down her boob. I said, okay, got it. So I went back over, and knocked on the door, and I opened the door, so my back is to the door. And whenever he came out, I punched him. He fell off the deck, and when he was getting up, I ran up and kicked him in the teeth, knocked the front of his teeth out. Okay, and when he was getting up again, I leaned over him. I said, you ever touch my sister again, and I will spend the rest of my life in jail. Do you understand that? And he said, yeah. And then it made me so mad that I came back that night late, and I asked my sister, do you want to break up with this guy? And she goes, yeah. And I said, you're not going to get back with him. And she said, no. I said, okay. I called my dad. I took her to my dad's house. But before I left, I went in, and he was asleep. I grabbed him. I drug him onto the floor, off the bed. He hits the ground. I said, I'll be back here at noon, and I want to make sure I want you to have everything you got and be out of this house. And if you're not, I'll put it out on the curb and call Goodwill to come get it. And I came back at 12 o'clock I'll be back. I went by there at 10 o'clock, and he was up and gone, took everything. When he was done.
Good thing he wasn't
done.
Sitting there waiting for you.
Well, I was willing, but here's the deal. I was willing to spend the rest of my life dead, or if I can't do the job, or I'm willing to spend the rest of my life in prison. Or the electric chair, it don't matter. I'm willing. I don't want to be a vigilante justice kind of guy. I'm just telling you, you're not going to hurt my sister. And I told my sister, you've got to stop this stuff because people live their whole life going from one relationship to the next, and it's nothing but the same old thing, you know? And,
they get into a pattern. They get into a pattern.
And I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad. But I'm going to tell you what, this guy, I mean, I'm telling you what, if you would have put me beside him, and you made your bets. Most of you would have put your bets on him, but I had something else going on, It ain't how tough or he is, strong he is. It's like you hit my sister and I'll do whatever. I'll break the rules to kick your butt, you know. We don't need to be. Well, you know, if I wouldn't have to do that if our culture was functional, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a whole entire lifetime of people in this culture that are living with hurts and they don't know how to get over it, all because we got people at the top that are doing whatever benefits them, and the rest of us are down here surviving.
Okay, guys, there was a comedian from Texas. By the name of Ron White, and I've seen the clip several times, but he talked about the Texas death penalty at the time, and this was before the bioweapon that is COVID. And he was talking about the death penalty in Texas, and he said, and this is at the time, this is probably 2017, 2016, whatever it was, and he was talking about it, and he said, what we want to do here in Texas is, and I don't know if this got passed yet, is if there are more than three people that saw you do what you did, you commit a heinous crime, and if there are more than three people that witness you doing that crime, and you're already on death row, you go to the straight to the front of the line.
Well,
you know, and that's the way it should be.
Gunslinger put in a video and. Since I still have my switchboard open, Gunslinger, you want me to go ahead and play that clip that you put in?
Sure, if you want to, go ahead.
I did just upload it as a clip.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hang on just a sec. Let me pull it up. Oh, I got to refresh first, otherwise it doesn't show up. Derp. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were just putting it in there as an FYI or if you wanted me to play it.
Both.
But I can go ahead and play it. This is Father Takes Revenge on Live TV, the Jody Pluchet story. This is from May of 2022. It's only about 6.5 minutes long. So let's check this out, guys. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, and launch.
Linda Boyd was working as a bartender in the airport lounge in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Sitting on one of the bar stools, Murray Curry nursed a triple Jim Beam while the two talked to Washington Post reporter Art Harris. I'd have shot him too if he'd done what they say he'd done to my boys, only I'd have gut shot him 3 or 4 times and he'd have suffered before he died, Linda said. Murray added, he's no killer. He's a father who'd done it out of love for his child and for his pride. On March 16, 1984, at around 9:30 p.m., Gary Plouchet shot Jeff Doucette in the airport terminal across from Linda's bar. And the reason why he pulled the trigger will make you ask yourself, what wouldn't I do for someone I love? Hi there, I'm Chris, and you found True Crime Recaps. The airport shooting was no act of random violence. Jeff Doucette was all too familiar with Gary Plouchet. After all, he had been just arrested for kidnapping and abusing Gary's 10-year-old son, Jody. Jeff was a popular karate teacher in Baton Rouge. That's where he first met Jody. The two of them hit it off right away, and Jeff became a frequent visitor at the Plouchet home. On the surface, everything seemed perfectly fine. Jody was doing well at karate, even winning trophies in tournaments. This was a huge relief to his parents, Gary and June, because they were going through a divorce at the time and they worried about how it might affect Jody and their other kids. They thought Jeff was helping Jody, but little did they know he had more sinister intentions in mind. Slowly, one touch at a time, Jeff was testing the waters with Jody to see how far he could go. Years later, Jody said this to George Morris of The Advocate. It was over several months before he ever started to do anything, and he had already been testing the boundaries. He had begun the grooming process, not just on me, but my family. Pedophiles are very good at what they do. One of the things they'll do with the grooming is test the child's boundaries. By February 19, 1984, Jeff had firmly entrenched himself into the Plouchet household. So though there was nothing strange about his request to take Jody back to his house to show him some carpet he was having put in. June knew of no reason to keep her son at home, so off he went with Jeff. The hours ticked by until June realized it was dark and they hadn't come home. Frantic, she called friends and family trying to locate them, but it was no use. Her son and his karate instructor were gone. Almost a week went by until they got a phone call. It was Jody. They were in a motel near Disneyland. Jeff had dyed his hair black and was telling everyone he was his son. And then Jeff himself hopped onto the call. He told June to bring the other children with her and meet them at the motel in California. But what he didn't know was that the FBI had tapped her phone and the call was being traced. And here is where things get dicey. When Gary learned what Jeff had been doing to his son in that motel room, he became unhinged. Then, one night, he was having a few drinks at a bar when he struck up a conversation with an executive from a local news station. As they were chatting, the Jeff Doucette case came up, and that's when the exec let it slip. The police were bringing him into Baton Rouge on a flight that night, arriving at 9:08. It was all the push Gary needed. He went to the airport to wait. When Jeff's flight landed, he picked up a payphone to call a friend. All he had to say was, "Here he comes. You're about to hear a shot." Jeff Doucette was being escorted down the hall, his hands were cuffed behind him, and he wore a slight smirk on his face. He didn't notice Gary standing by the payphones in a white baseball cap and sunglasses. No one did. And they didn't see him reach into his boot and pull out a .38 snub-nosed revolver. A news crew was there, filming Jeff's return, but they got more footage than they bargained for. As he walked past him, Gary fired. Jeff crumpled to the ground while the officers swarmed Gary. One of them, a friend of his, could be heard on the live broadcast shouting, "Why, Gary?" His answer? "If somebody did it to your kid, you'd do it too." Jeff died the next day. He was 25. Gary was charged with second-degree murder. It seemed like an open-and-shut case since the attack was caught on video, but news of the vigilante killing spread across Louisiana and the nation. Almost everyone was on Gary's side, except for one surprising opponent, Jody. He didn't want Jeff dead. He just wanted him to go to jail. Instead, his father was the one behind bars, but not for long. He was ultimately charged with manslaughter, and after some time in a psychiatric hospital, he was set free with community service and probation. It took a long time for Jody to reconcile his feelings with his father, but they eventually did make up, and Gary lived out the rest of his days without harming anyone else. He died in 2014. Jody, for his part, took the trauma of his past and channeled it to positive energies. He graduated from Louisiana State University with a general studies degree and minors in psychology, speech communications, and philosophy. Then he traveled to Pennsylvania where he worked as a sexual assault counselor and prevention educator for 7 years before heading back to his native Louisiana to be closer to family. Today, Jody still travels all around the country giving talks about sexual violence risk reduction and has even written a book titled Why, Gary, Why? That details the events of what happened to him at the hands of a predator. And that's your recap. What do you think? Was Gary justified in shooting his son's attacker? Or do you think he should have left it for the courts to decide? Let us know in the comments. And if you like getting all the crime in half the time, it would mean a lot to us if you took a second to give this a like and tap subscribe and the bell so you never miss a recap. Thanks for spending your time with me today. Until next time, take care.
Yeah, I don't think I can really blame him. I definitely don't think that he should get the death penalty for doing what he did. I definitely think that there could be a case for perhaps temporary insanity, that kind of a thing.
But it wasn't insanity. He was protecting his son. He was stopping the guy that's doing it.
Yep. Yep, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, when a 10-year-old child does not know what that situation is. Definitely not an adult, obviously. Okay, and he's probably going to be attached to this scumbag. you know, give him all this and buy this and do all this, treat him like a prince, okay? Just underhandedly fucking him in the ass, you know, in the meantime. And then his dad finds out about it. Oh, boy, I'd be hunting. If I, yeah, he got exactly what he deserved. Yay, another one bites the dust. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
If it was me, all convicted pedophiles should, one, get their peepees whacked off, two, not afforded any medical attention at all. Just let them bleed out. Fuck them.
Chainsaw.
Okay, there are two things. There are two things that are hated by the criminals in jail. Rats and pedophiles.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
I didn't saying that. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right. So
pedophiles,
you take those.
Pedophiles don't have. Pedophiles really don't have a long life expectancy in prison anyway.
Right. So, yeah. Right. Now, guys, I'm going to, I don't know if, I guess you can hear this, but I've got a clip I'm going to play for you with a phone here. So, if you can hear it, let me know. Can you hear that? Can you hear that?
No.
No. Okay, fuck it then. Fuck it. Okay. And I can't go back and put it in the chat room, so I found
what
that
happened was is, what happened was is the wrong guy gave him what he deserved. And that,
yeah.
That here's the thing. You wouldn't have to do what the cops, if you wasn't doing what the judicial system would do, then people would probably not react like that. But you know what? He knew. He knew. He's got to protect his son. He's got to stop this mess. But if he would have just turned him in, the guy got arrested, and he gets back out, and you know, the judicial, you rob something from that boy, he's never going to get back. You know?
Yep.
He's going to spend the rest of his life dealing with this issue. He might get on top of it and help other people, but the thing is, if the law did what it was supposed to do, you kill someone, then you get the death penalty.
Sure.
You know? And
yeah.
If you do something like this, you can't go to jail for whatever many years and then get out and say, I served my time. Your mind is still not right. You know?
Right.
You know, so it's going to happen again.
You still got that pedophile mind. Yep.
Yeah.
You're totally right. I mean, you can't change people like this, okay? That's the problem all along, okay? What did I say a while ago? If we had a utopian society, then we wouldn't have to be dealing with shit like that because everybody would be perfect, wouldn't they? Well, unfortunately, that's not the case.
Yeah.
It is. These people
then,
are out there, and, you know, eye for an eye. That's what the Bible says. Justice shall be mine.
Too.
Saith the Lord. There you go.
Well, life for
certain people. There are people, especially like that need to be removed from society.
Yep.
Period. End of story.
You know, when it's just like the same thing with the border, all across the Mexican border here. When the government won't do it, okay, and protect the border like they're supposed to protect the border, then it's up to the citizens to protect the border. Now, that's if you want to call that vigilante justice, okay. If they won't do it, we will, because that's what the law is. The Constitution says the government is supposed to secure the freaking goddamn country. But right now we're being invaded. That's not securing the country. So when you have these groups down there on the border, like the militias here in Texas that are going down there and taking the law in their own hands, I applaud them. Damn right. If they won't do it, we will. And that's just the way it is.
I can send you two speeches that George W. Did one on the border and one in the Oval Office, when he talked about securing the border and sat down and signed it, and it was always about getting the Republicans to the poll, and it never happened. And afterwards, they voted to fund it. And same with Daddy Bush. You know, Daddy Bush is sitting there. You know, the Republicans, man, they're not who they say they are. They say who they are whenever they need to get a majority in the next election. But, you know, both parties are for this border being wide open. And that is a Republican policy.
Well, they're both wrong on both sides on that one. The border should be secured per the Constitution and what the government is supposed to do. That's bottom line. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. You'll be on the left side, you'll be on the right side, don't matter. The law is the law, okay? And we are a country of law. We're not a democracy. We are a republic. And what does a republic stand for? It's the rule of law. And that's the law. I didn't make
well,
it.
Well, Biden said, you got elections coming up. And Biden said last night to reporters that, no, the border is not secure, and he's going to start doing something about it.
See? Hey,
guys.
We got to vote for him, man. He's going to secure the border after he's had it wide open.
Yeah,
hey, there you go. Text 3030 Joe.
3030. That's a good one. 3030.
It's like this. They're trying to impeach Mayorkas, okay? Well, that's only about 3 years too late. And the second thing is when he's impeached, he needs to be tried. And he needs to be tried for treason.
Yep.
And treason comes with a penalty of death by hanging.
Yep.
That's the only penalty that is absolutely put in the Constitution.
Right.
And if they were to sentence Mayorkas to the death penalty, you know, after he's impeached, and the government tries to do some other form of execution, that would be unconstitutional.
Sure.
Yep. Right. Now,
Remember what the founding fathers what they stood for. They stood for an honest government. Now, do we have that now? Obviously not. But that's what their dream was and what their goal was. And they knew that as time progressed from then even to now, that the government is going to get corrupt. It's human nature. Okay, that's why they put that clause in there. If you found guilty of treason, you will be hanged by the neck by a rope until you are dead. It's in the law.
Laurie.
Right now, it's in the law.
Okay, Laurie Ann.
Laurie Ann? Yes?
Is your switchboard dead yet?
Not yet. And actually, I did have a clip that I wanted to play by What's-Her-Face, her latest from Monday.
I also got a clip that I just put in. I put that clip that I wanted to play earlier that I couldn't play into the chat room, and it's there for when it's about a 30-40 second clip, but that I tried to play earlier that I couldn't play, so it's in the chat room.
I got a clip about a 30 round.
Not that kind of clip. Not that kind of clip.
Ron White? Okay, yeah. I like Ron White. He's funny shit. I'll try to get that uploaded, but I do want to play, before my switchboard goes dead here in 15 minutes, I did want to play What's-Her-Face's latest. She did a pretty good one. She's gone from Sundays to Mondays now, which kind of sucks because She used to put her show out, her weekly recap out on usually Sunday nights at some point, usually during my show. So it was new, but now she's doing Mondays. So I'm so this is as of Monday. I'm going to go ahead and roll this clip. And then meanwhile, I will work on getting, see if we can sneak in that round white clip that Mike put in the chat room here as well. Okay, so here we go. 3, 2, 1, and launch.
A YouTuber is arrested for throwing feces on Metro passengers. Children are sent home so their school can be used to house illegal aliens. And it turns out all those Hamas tunnels we've been hearing about were just a bit of projection. Welcome to the weekly roundup, where we cover the most diabolical yet hilarious news of the week. Our top story today, secret tunnels have been found under a Jewish synagogue in New York, raising just one question in everyone's mind. What the f*** is going on? Chaotic scenes unfolded at a synagogue in New York on Monday when a group of Jewish men clashed with construction workers attempting to fill an illegally dug tunnel. Videos that have gone viral on social media show men at the synagogue clashing with police officers and workers. They were also seen damaging the synagogue, pulling down the wood paneling and throwing prayer benches at police officers. The video also showed a Hasidic man climbing out of what appeared to be a sewer system around the corner from the facility. Other videos have surfaced online from inside the tunnel, where a child-sized mattress and a high chair were found, leading many to believe the underground passageway was used for nefarious purposes. You know, I don't really watch mainstream news for the sake of being filled in on current events anymore. I don't believe anything makes it to the New York Times unless the powers that be want it in the New York Times. So when I watch the news, I ask myself two simple questions. One, why is it in the news? And two, what's the intended outcome of it being in the news? And based on the headlines I came across in just the first few minutes of researching this story, it seems obvious. Tunnel discovered under Chabad headquarters sparks anti-Semitic firestorm online. Explosion of conspiracy theories on social media about tunnels at Chabad. Fact focus. Discovery of a tunnel at Chabad synagogue spurs false claims and conspiracy theories. Twitter explodes with anti-Semitic misinfo after secret tunnel found under New York City synagogue. The myth of Brooklyn's Jew tunnel. Why is so much of the West in the grip of anti-Semitic paranoia? This shit is so intentional. Here's my deconstruction on this story and how the propagandists will use it to further their agenda. Start with very obvious and damning evidence that the Orthodox Jewish community is engaging in child trafficking and ritual abuse. Accidentally leak video evidence all over social media using clear and disturbing imagery that will leave an imprint on people's minds. Things like bloodstained child-sized mattresses and high chairs in a dark and dingy underground tunnel. Let people's imaginations run wild for a few days, let the news spread via word of mouth, and let them create a narrative within their social circles. A few days later, once that story has been cemented, release an impossible-to-believe alternative narrative, like 9 students created this tunnel in secret using Mexican migrants to expand the synagogue in the name of a dead rabbi. That's real, by the way. When no one buys the second unlikely story because it makes absolutely no sense, label them anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists. Then go silent for a few weeks, and just as the public begins to forget about the story, execute a false flag and take it to the headlines. Something like, synagogue gets attacked by crazed schizophrenic who listened to one too many conspiracy theories about underground Jew tunnels. Host an emergency summit on anti-Semitism and ban the criticism of Jewish people in all forms. Giving you free rein to commit your crimes in the open while hiding behind your expertly crafted protected class. And most importantly, before anyone has a chance to figure out what the f*** is going on, distract them with poop. A YouTuber has been arrested for throwing poo at Brussels Metro passengers. Brussels police arrested a young YouTuber who filmed himself throwing buckets containing diverse substances, including paint, feces, and food at Metro travelers in the Belgian capital. The unnamed suspect, identified by his initials YD, was arrested on January 2nd and has confessed. Hilarious! The Brussels police pranked him back by charging him with assault and battery. Honestly, I knew riding the subway was shit, but This takes it to a whole new level. I guess we can now add public transportation to the list of public places that are no longer safe for you and your children. That's on top of public libraries, public bathrooms, and of course, public schools. Parents are fuming after students from James Madison High were forced to learn remotely as the school was used to house asylum seekers, making it the first time since the pandemic that youngsters are forced out of school because of a plague to society. One teacher told CBS2 that staff received an email Tuesday morning saying that migrants were set to arrive around 5 p.m. and will be placed inside the school's gym. At 6:30 a.m., they sent an email, just a storm coming and migrants will be coming to this site, the teacher said. Take important stuff home. I don't know what these parents are upset about. Students and staff were advised to take all their important items home. And learning that asylum seeker is nothing but a euphemism for dangerous thief is the most important lesson these kids will learn all year. Almost as important as the lesson Jordan Peterson learned in internetting this week when he took a shot at a pretty hilarious AOC meme.
Like, to get New York City more resources to handle the influx of citizens-to-be, as I like to call them, immigrants, we should totally raise the taxes on apartment owners. And if they raise rent on current residents, we'll raise taxes again. The residents have citizen privilege, which is a form of white supremacy.
Jordan says, if this is real, we're in trouble. If it isn't real, we're in even more serious trouble. And if you can't spot the difference, we're in the most seriousest of trouble. He goes on to say, people who produce deep fakes have committed the virtual equivalent of kidnapping and should be punished to the maximal extent of the law. This is a stunningly dangerous technology. It's not satire. It's identity theft, plain and simple, and it should be treated as a serious crime. He's right. This poorly dubbed video of AOC in front of an Alex Stein portrait is akin to being kidnapped. Just like AOC's experience on January 6th was literally attempted murder. And just like filming a criminal stealing from your porch is an invasion of their privacy.
A recent FedEx survey finds porch thefts are on the rise in Canada. According to the results, 1 in 4 Canadians have had a package stolen. And as more people install porch security cameras, more acts of porch piracy are being caught on video. Provincial police are urging Quebecers to not post those clips online because they say there could be a case for defamation.
You cannot post the images yourself because you have to remember that in Canada we have a presumption of innocence. And posting that picture could be a violation of private life.
Remember, folks, people are innocent until proven guilty. And direct video evidence is not the deciding factor on guilt. A jury of people too stupid to get out of jury duty is. It is truly terrifying the lengths we're going to protect criminals these days, isn't it? Our justice system is completely ass backwards, but every once in a while, we catch a glimpse of a real purveyor of justice laying down the law with elegance and grace.
Mr. Redden, is there anything you want to say on your own behalf before I pronounce sentence?
I feel that, like, I shouldn't be, like, sent to prison for a second time.
Have you looked at your criminal history? 3 felonies, a gross, 9 misdemeanors, multiple DVs. Got a lot going on, sir. Battery on a protected person, robberies, attempt home invasion.
I'm trying to learn from my mistakes.
I appreciate that, but I think it's time that he gets a taste of something else because I just can't with that history.
Listen, it's clear that dude was practicing for a big upcoming diving competition, and that judge deliberately got in his way. And if this was filmed in Canada, she would be charged for it, because not only do we respect the privacy of criminals, we also have very interesting views on physical assault. Something Rebel News reporter David Menzies learned the hard way this week when he attempted to ask Chrystia Freeland a question.
You're under arrest for assault.
Police, you're under arrest.
Following the video going viral, the RCMP have launched an investigation into the police officer. And hey, if he ends up getting fired, at least there's a career in soccer waiting for him. Ah, no, you hit me, huh? That's literally attempted murder. You know, under liberal leadership, we're now living with poop bandits, unfettered theft, brazen entitled criminals, and a justice system that nurtures it all. But even with all of that, Michelle Obama still fears just one thing. The Orange Man. She had this to say when questioned on her thoughts about the upcoming election.
I am terrified about what could possibly happen because our leaders matter. Who we select, who speaks for us, who holds that bully pulpit. It affects us in ways that sometimes I think people take for granted.
I get why Michael is terrified. What if the next president drops 3 bombs every hour on the civilians of a foreign country or calls for gun control while simultaneously permitting gun walking? What if the next president knowingly allows American ambassadors to die in a hypothetical city like Benghazi? Wouldn't that be awful? He might even spy on other presidential candidates, or worse, on citizens of the United States. We wouldn't want any of that. Now, would we? All right, guys, that's it for me today. If you like this video, please don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe, and check out some other videos from my channel. Also, if you want to support me and this channel, please consider subscribing to my Patreon. I post 2 long-form videos there every month. And one more thing. Last week, you guys were all making fun of me for having the tags showing on my pillows in the background. So I got rid of them this week, even though now I imagine I'm going to get a lot of comments about the background being a green screen. The tags actually eliminated those comments because no one would ever pay for a green screen image that has pillow tags in it. So I might actually bring them back for the next episode. Let me know what you guys think. All right, I'll see you all later. Goodbye.
I love her. Poop bandits in the subway. Pretty comical. Would you watch the video, the clip that she was talking about, that reporter getting arrested for assault against whatever the politician was? He didn't even lay a hand on her. He was just walking next to her, you know, with a microphone asking her a question. And the cop arrests him for assault. It's like, I didn't lay a hand on her. He wasn't even blocking her way or anything. It was like, this is ridiculous.
They
oh, my God.
This is
the insanity of the world going on right now.
Yeah, she needs to bring charges against the cop.
Well, there's a difference between assault and battery. Assault, you don't touch a person. You don't lay a hand on them. That's assault. Battery is when you put your hands on that person.
Yeah, but it wasn't even assault. So, I don't even understand how it could even be assault. All the reporter is doing is what reporters do. He's just walking next to this politician lady, asking her questions, you know, with the microphone as they're walking. He wasn't obstructing her way. He wasn't getting in her way. He wasn't doing anything other than doing what a reporter does, walk right next to him and ask him questions. That's it. He wasn't,
yep,
like, screaming in her face or anything like that. He was just being a journalist. But apparently that's assault.
So if I was to say you got big feet and your mama dresses you like a clown, I assaulted you.
Well, maybe he was asking her the wrong questions.
Yeah, I would, you know, tell me to be polite and don't ask that question. But to get arrested because I'm asking questions, I think that cop needs to be arrested. He could ask her to, hey, would you please leave? You know, but to arrest her because she's asking questions, I'd like to see where that comes out in the law. Because we got free speech, right?
Yeah, but you know,
yeah, but
there's a difference between arrest.
This happened
in Canada.
There's called arrest,
and there's custody, too.
Now, say that again.
But this happened in Canada, you know, and Trudeau can make up with whatever the fuck he wants.
And we follow what they do. Yeah, that comparing ourselves to some other standard. Well, I heard a funny joke. I heard this elderly lady came home from church late one Sunday night, and there was a burglar in her house, and she yelled out, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ," Acts 2:38. So he stood there and he didn't do nothing. And when the cops got there, they asked him. The cop told him it was good that he was respectful of her and not run. And she said, "Well, she said she had an axe in 2:38."
We didn't get that.
Okay, I was the only one laughing. I was on mute.
Yeah. The Acts, the chapter, the book in the Bible, 2:38.
Dong. Give him the hook.
Yeah, that's it. That's dong. That was, it was funny, unless.
Oh, crap.
I tell it.
Donnie, I'm sorry I missed you. Donnie raised his hand, and it was all the way at the bottom, and I didn't scroll, and I didn't see that he was raising his hand, but my switchboard is officially dead, so I can't bring Donnie in. I'm sorry, Donnie.
And you can't. Oh, well.
Switchboard is dead. Dead, dead, dead. We are now into no man's land.
And you can't pull my clip.
Nope, I cannot. Well, I think that what's-her-face ended just within like 30 seconds before the switchboard went down. But we'll have to save it for next time. Or maybe I eventually get a mixer, and then I won't have to rely on the switchboard in order to play clips. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
But that was a mixer. What's a mixer?
Well, you put stuff in before you make a cake. Spinning around.
The mixer is what a lot of people use to bring in multiple devices. You know, like you can hook up your laptop, you can hook up your phone, you can hook up several microphones, you know, two or three or four microphones, all into this one unit called a mixer that brings it all together.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You just can't lick the bowl after it's done.
All right.
I know Ron Rack has one. Let's see.
Every time he needs a new one, I'm the one that has to run to Guitar Center, and then it's between me and the salesman and the phone. And I'm usually about ready to kill somebody by the time I'm done.
A Guitar Center? Is that what you said?
Yeah, Guitar Center. You can pick up the best, closest place to pick up the best amps.
What kind of amp are you looking for? What are you playing?
I'm sorry, not amps. The mixer.
Hey, did y'all ever play that one? It's not the comedian. The clip you were talking about.
Oh, Ron
no,
White?
No, my switchboard went dead before
Ron White,
I could.
Yeah,
Ron White. Yeah, that minute. Yeah, I can't play it now since the switchboard's dead.
I was reading this thing the other day.
See, if you had the lecture board, you could do all that, even at this time.
Ron, Rick, you could play it. You're in the chat room.
Want?
You could pick that up.
You can play it.
The link that Mike posted to that Ron White clip in the chat room.
Oh, Ron.
Give me just a moment, children.
Yeah, and Ron Rec picked out a mixer. They asked something under $100 that would work for me, since I don't need anything fancy. I don't have, like, you know, 4 to 5 different microphones and stuff like that. I just want to be able to bring together, you know, my laptop and my phone and whatnot. So he helped me pick out it looks like a pretty decent one. So that's in my birthday wish list.
This is my
anybody that wants
this.
To PayPal.
It's like this.
Anybody that wants to
like
PayPal
this.
Me.
If Ron,
towards
the, like this.
Getting
Ron
a mixer for Laurie
Ann Fund.
Can
do it.
I can't PayPal nothing. Like my tied in my campaign money. I can't do nothing. Otherwise, I'll be sitting in a federal prison.
You ever
can't
thought
you
about
have more than one? Can't
ago?
You like separate that out?
Oh, I only got one PayPal.
I would think that there'd be a way to separate it out.
No, I only got one PayPal account.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like a personal versus a campaign one.
Yeah, but it's tied into my my PayPal account's tied into my campaign. I have a separate state ID for my campaign account, but my PayPal account's tied into that. So.
Yeah, you gotta really watch. Gotta make sure it's only for direct expenses relating to your campaign at this point. Got it.
Oh yeah. I know they're watching.
Ron?
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Did you get that clip, Brown Rick?
He's gone. He got disconnected, I think.
Well, for crap. Apparently.
Is he still on the board?
I'm working on it.
I don't know. He's always does that on
his
show.
He's working on it.
I'm working on it.
Hold on. I do.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay, Ron Rick is still there. He's just in the background working on it, I guess. But, I can't tell who dropped now because all I know is, you know, who was on before we went into no man's land, and so I won't be able to see if somebody drops or not.
Okay, some of you can hear this or not, kids.
I'm not hearing anything.
Not hearing it?
No.
I hear nothing. Really, we're not live. Man.
I think Texas and Alabama needs a bumper sticker that says it's not just a state, it's religion.
What were the two Navy SEALs that got killed? What's up with that? What were they doing? We just got disconnected as soon as I said that.
No, I'm still here.
I didn't pull up the full story. Does anybody have that full story up to say what the particular story was for Navy SEALs?
I get anywhere else.
I think they were trying to climb aboard a Iranian ship. The one fell off the ladder. The other one went in after him.
To do what?
I don't know.
Hijack it, hopefully.
I was just talking to a couple of those guys last week. Remember I was telling you guys? What show I was on.
Hey.
Talking about the, if the National Guard down in Texas engages, the feds.
Hey, Cinnamon.
Yes, ma'am.
I saw a little article about that. It was a team of Navy SEALs. This ship had been taken over by militants, and they were trying to get it back. One of those SEALs was shot and fell into the water, and as he was falling, he knocked the other one off the ladder, and he fell into the water. Last I heard, they were still missing, you know.
They were declared dead today.
Well, they just stopped the operation and they left. It was just a failure.
Yeah.
They were supposed to get on that ship and take it over again. So.
Yeah. And you know that happened 2 weeks ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. They said 10 days. They were declared dead after 10 days.
Yeah,
I didn't hear the one was shot.
I did pull up an article from NPR. Two Navy SEALs who went missing off of Somalia's coast are dead, the U.S. military says. Two Navy SEALs who went missing at sea earlier this month off the coast of Somalia have not been found, and they are now presumed dead, U.S. military officials said. The SEALs were reported missing after a nighttime raid of an Iranian ship on January 11th. U.S. officials said they found parts of ballistic missiles and cruise missiles Iran was supplying to Houthi fighters in Yemen. During the operation, one Navy SEAL fell into the rough waters and a second followed the SEAL in an attempt to rescue him. After a 10-day search of more than 21,000 square miles with assistance from Spain and Japan, recovery efforts have begun, U.S. Central Command said in a statement on Sunday. We mourn the loss of our two Navy Special Warfare Warriors, and we will forever honor their sacrifice and example. Our prayers are with the SEALs, families, friends, the U.S. Navy, and the entire Special Operations community during this time, said U.S. Army General Michael Eric Perula, who heads Central Command. Officials said they are not currently releasing further information about the deceased out of respect for their families. The Houthis attacked commercial
Who's
and military ships
noise?
Off the coast of Yemen in the Red
Sea
for weeks, saying their attacks are a show of support for Palestinians facing Israeli attacks on Gaza. The U.S. has responded with airstrikes on Houthi-controlled areas in Yemen. And that's the end of the article.
Wow. Was somebody out there taping up a gerbil?
No.
Oh, that was me.
I'm
sorry.
To run this clip. I'm going to try to run this clip and see if it works.
All right, go for it.
Hearing it?
Nope, not hearing it.
That
now? Hear it now?
No.
Huh. No, it's all going through the system.
Now, I tell you what.
No, my friend. Well, thank you for trying, I guess. Don't know what the deal is.
I'm going to try it again from my end and see if it works this time. Okay?
That's wrong. I'm trying.
What the fuck's going on here?
Can you hear that?
No.
Is that right?
We can hear it, but barely. Can't really understand what he's saying. It sounds like really far away.